I mean, it's, tell people why I say it. I mean, is it? I,
Hi, this is Doug Basham reminding you to join me weeknights at 7 here on KRXA. That's Basham Radio weeknights 7 to 10 p.m. right here on AM 540 KRXA.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News. I'm Lou Milliano. The leading edge is already hitting the middle Atlantic states.
Widespread outages based on high winds, gusty winds, and the winds were sustained all day long.
With Appalachian Power, Bill Moy, who says 33,000 have been plunged into darkness by a storm that really exploded across the country's midsection 2 days ago, sending hundreds of thousands into blackness now for a second night. Jessica Wellingham is a Red Cross volunteer. She lives in St. Louis.
The ice was really the worst. Our power went out at the house around midnight. You could hear the trees cracking under the weight of that ice. And in my yard alone, I have four different trees that are down.
WBBM reporter Julie Banz working in the Chicago suburbs.
Andy has of St. Charles says he's been a holdout for 12 years and went to shovel his driveway in the heavy, thick, and wet snow and said to himself,
"This is crazy. I gotta buy a snowblower."
He was one of five people in line when the Ziegler's Ace Hardware opened this morning in South Elgin. Manager Jamie Solemn says he's out of the heavy-duty snowblowers but expects a steady flow of winter-weary customers to come in today.
Shovels, salt. Yesterday we went through a lot of shovels. This morning I got a load of men, so we're trying to get those worked out.
From Texas to Michigan, at least five people are reported dead blamed on the weather. Airline passengers have been stranded, though little by little the flights are coming back online. Testing positive for the radioactivity, but out of danger. An Italian security expert who met last month with a former Russian spy to tell the Russian someone was out to kill him. CBS News reporter Amy Gutman in London says also testing positive, the Russian's widow.
What we know now is that the ex-Russian spy's wife has tested positive for traces of the poison that killed her husband, though luckily the amounts are so small, officials are not worried about her health at this time. Radiation experts say small traces are generally not dangerous, but once they're in the body, there is no way to treat it or to get rid of these substances.
But again, the widow is out of danger. The nation's largest Roman Catholic archdiocese has agreed to settle 45 lawsuits alleging sex abuse by priests. Cardinal Roger Mahoney says he hoped the settlement in Los Angeles will help victims move forward with their lives.
The total settlement is for $60 million. $40 million of that coming from the Archdiocese of Los Angeles.
David Kluesi is national director of the group Survivors Network of those abused by priests.
This is purely a business decision by Cardinal Mahoney to avoid trials and avoid him having to be deposed and having to tell under oath in open court how much he knew about and how little he did about abusive priests.
And now there's another, Senator Evan Bayh, a Democrat with a record of political success in a Republican-leaning state, Indiana, intends to take the first step toward a 2008 presidential campaign early next week. Wall Street stumbled a bit today. The Dow fell 28. The Nasdaq was off 18 and a half. Oil prices up to $63.43 a barrel. This is CBS News.
The holidays are here, and Guitar Center is your one-stop destination for every musician on your gift list. Save 50, 60, up to 75% off. Plus, don't pay for a full year on total purchases of $299 or more. Great holiday deals like acoustic guitar packs from Fender, only $99. Casio portable keyboards, just $79. Plus, Guitar Center gift cards make the perfect stocking stuffer. Guitar Center's December deal days are going on now. Don't miss it. Now online at guitarcenter.com.
Deck the halls with boughs of halsley.
Ah, the sounds of TomTom portable navigation devices singing in sweet harmony. And now through December 3rd, if you buy any TomTom, you get $50 off.
$50 off.
It's the TomTom Give event. You give a TomTom, we give you $50 off any model at any retailer. So give the best portable everyday GPS solution. TomTom. Heck, give one to yourself. Find your way the easy way.
$50 off.
Slowly but undeniably, Chinese leaders are changing their attitudes toward HIV/AIDS. CBS News reporter Celia Hatton's in Beijing.
This is Celia Hatton in Kunming, southern China. Thousands of migrant workers passing through this train station showed China as a country on the move. Uprooted from home, these workers often pay for unprotected sex, contributing to the rapid spread of AIDS. Health officials are fighting back by handing out condoms and leaflets, but they've got a tough job ahead. The source of China's AIDS problems might be easy to pinpoint, but the country's most vulnerable people are on the go, and they're tough to track down. Celia Hatton, CBS News, Kunming, Yunnan Province.
Some changes are apparently in the works. The incoming Senate Judiciary Chairman says more oversight is needed of a program that makes a risk assessment of almost everyone entering and leaving the United States, including Americans. Travelers aren't allowed to see the challenge or challenge the assessment. I'm Lou Maligano, CBS News.
Well, we're here with CompUSA computer expert Meg Pixel.
Hiya, Bob.
Meg, I'm getting my brother Stu a notebook computer this holiday.
Oh, he's also going to need software, a bag, an optical mouse.
Wait. I don't like Stu that much.
Oh, relax, Bob. At CompUSA, you can get complete gift packs.
Uh-huh.
You start with your main item, like a Sony Vaio C140 notebook, now with $150 instant savings, and then save 10% on qualifying accessories when you buy three or more.
So I can get everything Stu needs?
Exactly. There are lots of complete gift packs to choose. See your local CompUSA for details.
What a guy I am. He usually gets me a bun warmer.
Merry Christmas.
To many in your local community, this is the sound of Christmas. Together, Walmart and the Salvation Army's Red Kettle campaign have been helping change the lives of those in your community for 20 years. And this year, our commitment is stronger than ever. From our families to yours, Merry Christmas and Happy Holidays.
Welcome to this hour of the Peter B. Collins Show, live, unscripted, unrehearsed, originating from the left coast. I'm in San Francisco, home of those dreaded San Francisco values. Oh, you know, like a living wage, compassion for the less fortunate. Yeah, dangerous values, according to the neocons, right? As always, my telephone lines are open to talk with you. You can join this conversation whenever you like. Toll free, 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-573-8372. As always, you can email me, Peter, at peterbcollins.com. Or if you prefer, humblehost at peterbcollins.com. It'll get me. This hour, we're going to talk about the process that has been called extraordinary rendition. It's another tortured phrase emanating from the Bush administration. And it describes the process, frankly, where we snatch or kidnap somebody and take them somewhere to interrogate them or have them interrogated by third parties. I view it as a black mark. A barbaric practice of this administration that doesn't make Americans safer and often has been practiced on people who are absolutely frickin' innocent. And joining us to talk about this issue this hour is A.C. Thompson. Together with Trevor Paglen, he has penned a book called Torture Taxi, on the trail of the CIA's rendition flights. And we first talked to AC and Trevor a little less than a year ago when they authored an article. It was either in the San Francisco Bay Guardian or the Weekly. AC, which was it?
It was the Guardian, which was then my employer, and I'm currently with the SF Weekly.
Oh, you jumped to the other side.
There you go.
Well, Brugman will get even.
Undoubtedly.
That's an inside joke. Bruce Brugman is the powerful, authoritative publisher of the Bay Guardian, and he's in general a great guy, but if you get on his wrong side, like the Chronicle and Examiner did for years with their joint operating agreement, or one of his pet peeves is about Hetch Hetchy and the Raker Act that set up PG&E, the utility here in San Francisco, and he's never gotten over it. And I have to say that those things that he pursues are interesting and important topics, but sometimes he's a little bit wild-eyed about it, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, I would say stipulate to that.
Well, AC, first of all, describe for us how you got interested in the rendition flights and how you connected with various plane spotter networks that essentially are all over the world to help you track some of these lightly marked or sometimes unmarked aircraft that are used by the CIA and perhaps other arms of our government to transport people in this process called extraordinary rendition.
You know, the last time we spoke, I had just done the story with Trevor, and we, you know, basically had just started chasing this story a little bit more. And what we found as we were doing more research to do a book on the subject was some of the people that had the most information about where the CIA was taking people, how they were taking them to these locations, what the CIA was doing, were not traditional sources. They were not the kind of people that you would normally expect to go to for information on an intelligence agency. The people that we found that could help us figure these things out, a lot of them were hobbyists. They were kind of nerdy, binocular-toting gentlemen who were obsessed with aviation. And when you get into this globalized war on terror where the CIA is abducting people from places around the world and taking them to different locations around the world, it helps to have, as a source, somebody who is an expert on aviation. And what had happened was, on the various plane spotter listservs and websites and message boards, there are a bunch of people that follow, in particular, mysterious aircraft and military aircraft and possible experimental aircraft. And they use a lot of different ways to sort of check these planes out and see where they're landing and where they're going to. And one of the things that they use is basically to get the FAA data that shows where planes are going, that shows what flight plans planes have filed, and can be streamed to your computer over the internet if you pay a service. Some of these guys are using that. Some of these guys are using even more high-tech methods. We went out with a guy who was tracking U-2 spy planes using a sophisticated radar apparatus that he hooked up to his laptop. And so what these folks were, helped us figure out is basically to crack the CIA's code. How to figure out if a plane doesn't have any markings on it aside from the tail number on it, which is basically like the license plate number on a plane.
Right, and every plane is required to display its tail number. We do have a couple of planes in the book that are violating that rule.
You know, it's more like most of the planes that we're looking at have the tail number. What it is the way that the CIA would get around, in some cases, meaningfully being able to track them, is that they would put a block on the data that the FAA got. And so the FAA wouldn't know exactly where these planes were going or wouldn't be able to share that data with the public. And, you know, the plane spotters also helped us figure out some ways to, even when that data is blocked, those who are savvy with computers can figure out ways to figure out what the data is, and they turned us on to that as well.
Mm-hmm.
So we were basically looking at a handful of planes that made very interesting journeys. These are planes that are flying from Dulles Airport, which is outside of Washington, D.C., to Afghanistan, to Guantanamo Bay, to Poland, to Romania, to Morocco, and those were we started looking at those planes and basically digging up as much information as we could to sort of get a sense of what the CIA was doing.
Mm-hmm. And when you start to delve into these black operations that take people to black sites, you're risking quite a bit as you investigate this, because clearly our government doesn't want you to discover this information. So were there any times where you felt that you were being followed, tailed, watched, or that your security had been compromised by the people who are in charge of our national security?
Well, you know, there was a few different times when we kind of felt nervous. You know, one thing that we did is we went to a rural town in North Carolina which is the town that is the headquarters for one of the basically shell aviation companies that the CIA has set up to run its missions.
Smithfield is the town.
Smithfield, North Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when we were there, it's a small place. We're clearly outsiders. And basically we were knocking on the doors of the pilots who were doing these missions for the CIA and saying, hey, you know, we'd like to talk to you about the war on terror. We're writing a book. How do you feel about talking to us? And as you can imagine, most of the people we spoke to weren't interested in talking, though one of the pilots did. But we definitely felt a little creeped out at times. Like, here we are announcing our presence in this small town as the guys who are digging into the CIA secrets there. And you know, beyond feeling a little nervous, I don't know that there was that we were in any kind of danger at all.
But did you and Trevor have a contingency plan in case all of a sudden they put a hood over your head and say, you're going on a one-way trip to Gitmo?
You know, we didn't, you know, and sort of we sort of felt that, you know, hopefully being members of the press and being American citizens, that helped give us a little bit more protection compared to.
You jest, AC.
No, I'm serious. I mean, you know, typically the kind of people that are going to get grabbed, most of them are going to be, a lot of them are going to be foreigners, people in other countries, and they're going to get dragged to even more remote countries. And so it's sort of, you know, they're less likely to become a cause celeb here. And, like, people in San Francisco aren't even going to notice that they disappeared. Whereas with us, it would be quite, you know, Trevor is a PhD candidate at Cal, and I'm a guy at a newspaper. It'll be pretty clear that somebody got us, and everyone knew we were working on this book about the CIA. So we weren't that worried. When we were in Afghanistan, we were a little bit more worried there, you know.
I admire your level of trust in our country at this difficult time. We're talking with A.C. Thompson. He is co-author with Trevor Paglen of Torture Taxi. It's a book about the CIA's process of extraordinary rendition. And as we continue, we'll talk more about the process, the way the CIA has this set up, some of the victims, including a few innocent individuals, and the kind of torture and other extraordinary means that were used to try to get information out of them. If you have a question or comment, A.C. Thompson's with us this entire hour, so give us a call, toll free. It's 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. That's 1-888-5-PETER-B. And I'm Peter B. Collins. You're listening to the new KRXA 540. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens, he cares.
This week on Rock Rollin' Real Estate, your number one choice for wealth building and real estate investment, we'll have companies that we think are going to be very hot in 2007. If you want to learn about investing in commercial properties, new real estate funds, and other exciting real estate markets, this is the show for you. For more information on how to be a guest, call 408-892-3376. That's 408-892-3376. Or check us out on the web at rockrollinrealestate.com. Rock Rollin' Real Estate, heard right here every Sunday morning at 10.
Monta Vista Wine and Spirits in Monterey is family-owned for more than 40 years. That's why when you walk in, you're treated so well. They know what they're doing. Excellent service and great product. They have the best in high-end liquor and an excellent selection of the finest wines. It's the real deal. At Monta Vista Wine and Spirits, you can call ahead and your order will be waiting for you. They treat you like family. Open every day 9 to 9 at 19 Soledad Drive in Monta Vista Village. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits ask you to please drink responsibly.
I am attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no-obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am attorney Sean Mills.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside. It's the Peter B. Collins Show. We're talking about the CIA and rendition.
I took a correspondence class in wiretapping and assassination. I learned the lingo and the proper etiquette for covert operation. I got my degree in top secrecy, 'cause I'm gonna be a spy. CIDIATFBI. I'll tell you if you keep it quiet, CIA and FBI, etc. They've reformed their former ways and got themselves a brand new raison d'etre. And all the intelligence personnel will work as one well. The CIDIATFBI is on the scene.
That's another tune from that wacky new CD from Roy Zimmerman. A lot of great tunes there. You'll keep hearing them here on the Peter B. Collins Show. A.C. Thompson is our guest. He is co-author with Trevor Paglen of the book Torture Taxi, On the Trail of the CIA's Rendition Flights. And A.C., going back in history, after the Vietnam War, I learned about Southern Air Transport. I learned about Air America, and that's why the radio network took that name, for a little bit of a joke. But things have changed since Vietnam, and the CIA doesn't appear to currently have front operations that provide this kind of executive transport. And so, like so many other functions in the Bush administration, they've outsourced, and they've turned to leasing. Is that right?
Partially yes and partially no. It's all kind of tangled and it's very murky, but part of what they've done is they've apparently outsourced the actual flying of the planes to some small companies that basically survive on CIA contracts and are very, very closely associated with the CIA. These are companies that deal with the CIA from day to day, that the CIA has a hand in who they hire, that the CIA helped create, but they're nominally at least semi-independent of the agency.
Mm-hmm.
So those are the people who are doing the flying. The actual planes are owned by a whole panoply of front companies, and it looks to us from our research that the CIA does in fact own these planes, but shrouds the their ownership of them by creating paper corporations which supposedly own them, phony companies that supposedly own them.
So one of the central aspects of the book is you're trying to figure out who owns Premier Executive Transport Services. And when you investigate, it leads you to a law office in near Boston, is that right?
Yeah, that's correct. And what it is when you start doing the sort of basic corporate research that you would do to learn anything about a company, you find all kinds of weird things that don't add up when you start looking at these aviation firms. So when we were looking at Premier Executive, this is the company that's widely believed to have helped take Khaled El-Masri, a German citizen of Lebanese descent, to help grab him and fly him to from Europe to Kabul, Afghanistan, where he was held incommunicado for 4 months and tormented before being dumped out in a hillside in Albania. So we were looking at Premier Executive, and we just wanted to figure out, well, you know, what's up with this company? Who is involved with them? Who is making money off them? You know, perhaps they're a real company, or perhaps they're a CIA front. And so we did stuff like we pulled their corporate charter documents and looked at the signatures for the people who were allegedly the executives there that they had to sign each year. And what you would find is that every time the president of the company, for example, would sign the charter documents each year, it would be a completely different signature.
Well, and you even show us various examples of Colleen Bourne's signature.
Right. And what do those look like to you?
Well, they're not similar.
that was the thing that we thought, you know, it's like, you know, we're not handwriting experts, but when we look at these documents, it sure doesn't look like the same person is signing these documents from year to year, and this is supposedly the executive of this company. We also found that when you start looking around for any proof that, say, Colleen Bourne, a Premier Executive, exists, it's very, very hard to find any proof that these people really exist outside of being the supposed owner of this supposed company. So, like for Colleen Bourne, we couldn't find any real estate that she owned. And you'd figure, well, she owns an aviation company. She probably owns a house as well. Well, mm-hmm. We couldn't find any. We couldn't find a phone number. We couldn't find an address history. None of the sort of stuff that would normally come up with an exec, even of a small company. And these are the sort of giveaways that you have that say, this is not your normal operation here.
Mm-hmm.
Furthermore, for Premier Executive, they didn't have a real office anywhere. They didn't have a workplace that anyone went to and worked in each day.
Right.
Randomly.
Under corporate laws, what you have to have is an official address where process servers could deliver a subpoena or something like that.
Exactly. And all any of these companies have is a lawyer who is there to receive subpoenas. The person who is the registered agent for a process of service.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's where the trail leads in the case of Premier Executive is to...
And it's this one lawyer, Plakias, or whatever his name is.
Yes,
He's a divorce lawyer.
He's a divorce lawyer. He was also the first person to buy our book, by the way.
How do you know that? From Amazon?
Yeah. From the web store for our publisher. He ordered it the day it came out.
And, of course, he declined to talk with you.
He declined to talk to us, as did several of the other people who are connected with these front companies. You know, we went to see him and say, hey, your name has come up in connection with possibly grabbing people for the CIA and torturing them, we'd like to talk to you. And he didn't want to talk to us.
All right, we got to take a break. AC will return. If you'd like to talk with AC Thompson, the author, co-author of Torture Taxi on the Trail of the CIA's Rendition Flights, call us now. We'll talk to you soon. 888-5 Peter B is our toll-free number. That's 888-573-8372. I'm Peter B. Collins.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Doesn't your Volvo deserve to be maintained and repaired by the best? Hans Auto Repair in Seaside is locally owned and operated by Mike Brooks and Tracy Polacco. Tracy is a factory-trained Volvo service advisor. Mike is a factory-trained and certified Volvo technician with over 17 years of experience servicing and repairing Volvos. Join the many Monterey Bay Volvo owners who only trust Hans Auto Repair to service their Volvos. Hans Auto Repair is at 384 Olympia Avenue in Seaside. Call Hans at 583-9820. That's 583-9820.
This is Laura Pruneda of Pruneda Real Estate Advisors. As your licensed real estate broker, our mission at Pruneda Real Estate Advisors is excellence and contribution, and our only concern is to promote and protect your interests. Quite simply, if the best result for you means no deal for us, we will immediately tell you. Selling but concerned about tax consequences? As a CPA, I can advise you of the implications of any capital gain. Seeking income-producing property? With a Stanford engineering degree, I have developed cash flow analysis to evaluate various opportunities. If you're buying a home, my promise is to help you find your dream house under the most favorable terms. We at Pruneta Real Estate Advisors are dedicated to our community. We will contribute $250 out of every local transaction to the school of your choice. I am Laura Pruneta of Pruneta Real Estate Advisors. Call me at 753-5310. That's 753-5310. Stop by 1271 North Davis Road in Salinas, across from Applebee's, or browse to PrunetaRealEstate.com.
God listens to Billy Sunshine. Maybe you should, too.
You're listening to the new KRXA Sundays, 540.
3 to 5 on KRXA 540 AM, The Billy Sunshine Show with Pilar. Coming soon.
You see, we're on a mission from God.
Join broadcast journalist Glenn Brooks and native healer Cloud Pilar for an hour of Native Health Radio and discover how sacred medicine can save modern life. Honest, direct, funny, informative, it's programming that makes you think. Saturday from 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. right here on KRXA 540 AM.
Hi, this is Ed Schultz, America's number one progressive talker. Join me every weekday from noon to 3 here on KRXA 540. I'm based in Fargo, North Dakota, and we bring you news and views from the heartland of America. I'm fighting the righties every day on behalf of the working people who've made the nation great. Tell your friends to listen. Give me a call toll-free, 1-877-934-6833. The Ed Schultz Show, noon to 3 on KRXA 540. Think for yourself.
Children's books, educational toys, and games your entire family will enjoy together are always in season at locally owned and operated Thinker Toys. Hi, this is Nurse Rona of Childhood Matters. Research and common sense show that children learn by playing, and the caring management and staff at Thinker Toys have 37 years of experience helping parents and grandparents choose the ideal gift for toddlers through teens. So whether you're birthday shopping or simply want to show your love, a gift from Thinker Toys is a way to let someone know you care enough to shop for the very best. With an outstanding selection of Thomas the Tank engines and tracks, puzzles, board games, and children's books, all very reasonably priced, you can't go wrong with a gift from Thinker Toys. So stop by the beautiful Carmel store at 7th and San Carlos, or the just renovated Del Monte Center in Monterey. Thinker Toys is open daily.
You're on the Peter B. Collins Show. It's 33 minutes past the hour.
Those who start wars, never fight them. Those who fight wars, I never liked them. Those who write laws, I can't recite them. And those of us who just fight laws, we live and die them. But I know they're never gonna tell you why. I know.
We're talking with a co-author of the book called Torture Taxi, On the Trail of the CIA's Rendition Flights. He is reporter A.C. Thompson, and we're joined by Dave in Eureka. Hello, Dave. You're on the air.
Hey, Peter. And A.C., I do commend you for your very courageous efforts. And I'm wondering, one, did you get the feeling anywhere along the line in your investigation that you live in a country where you have a government that's interested in protecting your rights as a citizen? And I also wanted to ask you, what country did you have to go to find a newspaper that would publish what you were doing?
Well, you know, on the latter subject, you know, it's actually been really nice. My previous employer was interested in this story, and my current employer, Village Voice Media, has been as well, and they ran an excerpt from the book on thevillagevoice.com. So luckily I've been able to stay in this country, unlike certain reporters. You know, as far as the first question and what made me think that the government of this country particularly cared about my rights, it wasn't that. It was just more that, you know, my sort of sense was that we were in less risk than a lot of other people because we were higher profile characters, and that was why. You know, now when we were in Afghanistan, things sort of shifted there because it's obviously a fairly chaotic place at the moment, and people do disappear there all the time, and you have basically all kinds of overlapping spheres of power there. You have the warlords, you have the Afghan government, you have the narco forces, you have the U.S. military, and you have the European military. So that was a much different story over there.
Well, I do commend you. You've done a really good thing here.
All right, Dave, thank you for checking in today. Well, it's good to hear from you. You can join us at 888-5-PETER-B if you have a question or comment. Now, take us to base camp in Nevada and explain the scene that you describe in the book of these four planes, two of which you had been tailing and had identified as rendition vehicles, and this scene that you were able to report on at base camp in Nevada.
Now, this was a great sort of piece of info that a source of ours who goes by the name Ray in our book basically led us onto, and he was a person who'd been studying and charting really the most secret, most experimental aircraft for years. And he's a guy who hangs out in the Nevada desert because that's where a lot of these tests and a lot of these secret flights go on. I mean, there's a huge chunk of Nevada that is government property, and a lot of it is used by the CIA, and a lot of it is also used by the Air Force.
And many of us have learned about Area 51, but base camp is not adjacent to or even right next to Area 51, right?
No, it's not. It's not right by Area 51, but it's not too far away.
So a couple of hundred miles? I mean, Nevada is a huge state.
Right. We're talking about 100 miles away.
Okay.
And what was going on is Ray basically was driving around at various lookout points looking at interesting planes that he'd been tracking and decided to pull through base camp one day, and that was a spot that was, like, he believed to be basically an abandoned sort of airstrip that very few people, or if anybody, were using. And when he pulled up there that day, he saw four different planes and quickly took photos and got out of there. And what he later started hearing was that from sources of his out in that world was that this was not a good thing that he had done, and that people were very unhappy that those photos he had taken had quickly found their way onto the internet.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, his source said, you really need to be careful that you don't end up with a bullet in you. The planes were pretty interesting.
two of them were planes that basically we could quickly connect to the CIA. One of them ended up being a plane that went down not that much longer, later after Ray saw it, in Colombia over territory that was controlled by the FARC guerrillas, and the guerrillas executed the passenger of the plane and the plane's pilot. So that was another pretty good tip-off that these were definitely planes that were connected to the intelligence agencies. There's not a ton of Americans flying over guerrilla territory and in Colombia at this point.
Mm-hmm. It's hard to imagine, though, why they would have some sort of a rendezvous all the way in Nevada. Now, these jets, of course, can fly all over the world, and I guess many of them have fuel tanks that give them extended range. At the same time, wouldn't Southfield in North Carolina be a lot closer to the hot spots of the Middle East than this desolate, apparently or allegedly abandoned strip at base camp in Nevada?
You know, why the planes showed up there, why they had this rendezvous there, and this was in like late 2001, we don't know. We you know, it's a mystery to us. We do know that from looking at the flight logs, these planes show up all over the place. Mm-hmm. They show up in Oklahoma. They show up in Texas. They show up in all kinds of places. So, you know, it may have been that they were working on some kind of maneuvers, that they were working on some kind of strategic planning, and they just wanted to be out in the middle of nowhere to get together to do whatever planning or maneuvers that they wanted to do.
Yeah, but it wasn't to trade Krispy Kremes.
We would figure that it wasn't. Yeah.
All right. Now, AC, let's wing our way over to Afghanistan. Bagram is one of the main air bases there, and it also has been described as a black site. And nearby, you describe the salt pit. Tell us about the salt pit.
The salt pit is the place that Khaled El-Masri, one of the rendition victims we were speaking about earlier, mm-hmm. was dragged to. And the salt pit is the code name for what seems to be an old brick factory that's basically between Kabul and the Bagram Air Base that the U.S. military forces use. And it's on a long road that rolls through the plains outside of Kabul along this stretch of territory that's fairly empty, save for small-time furnaces and bricks, little brick factories that people have out there. And when we rolled out that way, we took what we believe is one of the only photos that's been taken by a Westerner of the facility, and our translator was speaking to the Afghan guards who were in front of the facility, and we said, you know, he said to them, "Is this a facility that Americans are using?" And the Afghans said, "Yes, there's lots of Americans here, and we have no idea what they're doing."
Mm-hmm.
It was about 30 seconds after that we noticed not too far away two Americans on a Humvee who were very heavily armed outside the big high razor coil wall surrounding the old factory. And we were pretty sure that was in fact the salt pit, and that was where people had been dragged to. The location from satellite photos and from our drive out there mm-hmm. seems to match everything that we've been told about by the few people who have gotten out of these dungeons.
And AC, one of the first glimpses we got into this murky world was from the so-called American Taliban, the guy from Marin County, John Walker Lind, who was found and declared to be an enemy combatant, and instead of sending him to Gitmo, they tortured him in Afghanistan and ultimately sent him to the United States for trial, and he's serving a 20-plus year sentence right now. But his reports indicated the kind of treatment that he received, exposure to hot and cold, different kinds of humiliation, and, so that was really the first glimpse that we got of what was going on in Afghanistan. And through your plane spotting friends who helped you put together some of the manifests and itineraries for these planes that you've identified as part of the rendition program. Your book helps fill in the blanks that the Washington Post declined to report on when last year they did disclose the Gulag, this system of black sites where detainees were being kept, and you were able to develop information about at least Poland and Romania, right?
Yeah, and you know, what the story was basically is that the intelligence agencies leaned very hard on the Washington Post not to reveal the locations, the exact locations of these secret prisons in Poland and Romania. And instead, the Washington Post said in two Eastern European countries, and that was after pressure from the CIA. Pressure also came down on ABC and Brian Ross because they were reporting on the same story at about the same time. But in the case of ABC, ABC had put out multiple versions of their story, and one of them was a podcast on the web that named the countries. Then when they went on the news and did the broadcast news version, they didn't name the countries. But when it, like, became clear to them that, we've already let it leak, the actual locations leak out, let's just go for it and tell people where they are, they ended up naming the countries. And for us, we had a lot of help on this from an expert at Human Rights Watch in New York, John Sifton, who had also, like the plane spotters, been using the plane logs and the manifest to figure out where these folks were going. And he said he came to the same conclusions independently of the other journalists and said, this is where I think they're going to. Lately, people have believed that two key places on the rendition map are Rabat, Morocco, and Egypt. And mm-hmm. those are two places that folks are pretty convinced CIA flights are going into pretty regularly now.
Mm-hmm. All right, well, let's complete the Jeopardy category here, black sites for 1,000. we have, obviously, Abu Ghraib, Gitmo, Bagram, Romania, Poland. You just mentioned Egypt and Morocco. And we know that a number of individuals have been sent to Syria for rough treatment. So that's eight. Are there others that have surfaced that you can acknowledge at this point?
Well, you know, what I would also kind of keep Guantanamo in a separate category because it's a dungeon. You end up there under basically no law, and mm-hmm. you may never get out of it. But from the beginning, the U.S. was pretty open about, well, we have this facility. We just won't necessarily let you into it or tell you what happens there.
Right.
So I would keep that in a slightly different category.
Okay.
And I would also point out that around Kabul, most experts believe that there's actually at least three facilities there that are run mm-hmm. by the CIA, and one of them is called the Prison of Darkness, where prisoners are kept in basically perpetual darkness and subjected to very loud hip-hop and rock music, which is not the indigenous music of Kabul.
Yeah.
But, you know, what's interesting is that the definitions get blurry, and that's why mm-hmm. I mentioned about Guantanamo, is because throughout Afghanistan, the U.S. military is controlling about 20 different detention centers. And these function much the way that the CIA's black sites mm-hmm. do.
Now, what about the stands? Do we have any people detained in Tajikistan or Kazakhstan?
You know, it hasn't become clear to us that there are, although there could well be.
All right, we got to take a break. We'll return with A.C. Thompson. The book that he co-authored is Torture Taxi, On the Trail of the CIA's Rendition Flights. There's still room for a call if you'd like to ask a question or make a comment. 888-5-PETER-B is our toll-free number. That's 888-573-8372. I'm your humble host, Peter B. Collins.
KRXA 540, Progressive Talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz.
I am Attorney Sean Mills.
Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no-obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am Attorney Sean Mills.
Tired of that dreaded drive into town for fresh quality produce? The Produce Barn in Carmel Valley Village has the perfect solution to your problem. Owners Ed Drobnik and Don Bikey have over 50 years of combined experience in the produce business and are passing the substantial savings on to their customers. The Produce Barn offers a wide selection of conventional and certified organic seasonal fresh fruits and vegetables. We also carry a fine selection of specialty candies and snacks, exquisite gourmet gift items, and feature Freedom Meats, savory sausages, bacon, and marinated fresh meats. Heck, we even throw in free recipes. So, whether you're a restaurant, lodge, home chef, or treasured village visitor, stop by the Produce Barn at 13750A Center Street in the Center Street Plaza, behind Wells Fargo, and right next to the Chatterbox. We're open 7 days a week.
The Produce Barn in Carmel Valley Village, 659-5916. That's 659-5916. The Produce Barn.
The healthcare system is broken. That doesn't mean you have to be. Capitola Physical Therapy helps you return to the level of function you need with skilled personal attention. Whether it's golf, tennis, walking, or simply getting out of bed and maintaining your balance, Capitola Physical Therapy understands, cares, and knows how to help. Call Capitola Physical Therapy at 475-1200. That's 475-1200.
Tom Hartman and George W. Bush admitting that he lied to the press corps.
Last week you told us that Rumsfeld was not stepping down, and now he is. And did you lie to us?
It's the Tom Hartman program.
And then he says, I lied to you. It was the only way I could get you to move on to the next question. And then he looks around and he chuckles, and he's got this, and nobody's laughing. The entire press corps is sitting there looking at him going, you did what?
Tom Hartman, weekday mornings 10 to noon on KRXA 540.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show. I imagine this is one of the songs they play in the black hole of the black sites. Certainly Devo isn't anybody's indigenous music. And it occurs to your humble host that you may be asking yourself, Peter B., isn't it a little tasteless to play Whip It while you're talking about torture? And I would respond, yeah. But what is really tasteless is our government's policy of torturing people, transporting them to exotic destinations for the purpose of torture, and this grisly negotiation that took place over the last year about our laws regarding torture, and the way the Bush administration has intentionally watered those laws down. They've set a new low for us. We're talking with A.C. Thompson. He's co-author of Torture Taxi, On the Trail of the CIA's Rendition Flights. Let me read you a passage here. A middle-aged man named Ala Noor, a small-time merchant with a produce stand in the heart of town, had a typical story. He was grabbed by U.S. soldiers on a winter afternoon in late 03. When they entered my shop, they asked an Afghan translator to tie my hands, he told us. They wanted to know where the guns were. The troops, he explained, thought he was providing weapons to the local Taliban guerrillas, though in fact he had no arms. The soldiers blindfolded and hooded Noor before driving him to a nearby base. When the blinders were removed, he was in a locked room, surrounded by two Afghan translators, three Americans, and some civilian garb and three Americans in military uniform. They stripped him naked, took photos from all sides. Some of the U.S. personnel began asking him questions, while others, Neuer said, started to beat me very badly. Then they forced me to sit in a position that was impossible. He stood up and demonstrated this for us by bending over at the knees like a baseball catcher and then thrusting his torso forward in an obviously uncomfortable position. The beating went on for 3 hours before they gave me only trousers and put me in a big dark room. It was the beginning of winter. The room was very cold. There were holes in the roof. The snow was falling on me. I had only one thin blanket. I was under the snow for days. The next day, soldiers attacked him with a snarling German shepherd. For days, he wasn't given any food or allowed to use the toilet or allowed to pray. Eventually, they put a hood back on and took him to Bagram military base via chopper. Since the CIA moved its prisoners out of Bagram and into the salt pit in 01, the U.S. military has used the base as a key jail for suspected insurgents. And this story goes on into other interrogation sessions. But would you say it is somewhat typical, A.C. Thompson, of the stories that you've investigated of rendition victims?
You know, that was the thing that was stunning to us, is that there's this whole continuum of very similar stories that goes from Abu Ghraib to Afghanistan and the military facilities there to the CIA facilities and their black sites. And the interesting thing is that no matter where you are, no matter who is the jailer, whether it's intelligence or whether it's military or whether it's some combination of the two, you hear these very similar stories.
Let's talk about, just for another moment, Khalid al-Masri, because he's a German who was snatched and rendition, whatever the right variation of that term is. And he asserts, and I believe, that he is completely innocent. And he surfaced at an inconvenient time telling his story in Germany when Secretary was Rice was there last December in what I called the Rice-a-Palooza torture tour. And he came up inconveniently as she was denying to the Germans that we torture. And then just days before or later, the Italians surfaced with a case from Milan. And they have proceeded to indict 24 individuals, including some members of our CIA, for grabbing a suspect off the streets of Milan. He was rendered to Egypt and tortured and then, again, determined to be completely innocent.
You know, to me, what's fascinating, and it's with the Italian story, you know, I'm amazed that you even know about that story because it's gotten so little play in the United States. This is a great untold story of the war on terror, that United States employees of the federal government, of the CIA, have been criminally indicted by the Italian government. It's, to me, that's a huge story, and yet you won't hear anything about it, you know, very little about it in the mainstream press.
It also began under the Berlusconi regime, which was thought to be very friendly to the Bush administration.
Right. That was the other thing that's so interesting.
Yeah. So, AC, you've been great in answering my questions, and with somebody like you who has investigated all this stuff, we got 2 minutes remaining. What have we left out that you think our listeners really need to know or should know about CIA renditions?
You know, the key thing to me that I think is important here is the fact that we're all culpable here. This is our government. We're paying for this to happen. And, you know, not that long ago, our government could say to other countries, hey, you know, abusing human beings is not a good thing to do. Why don't you not do that? And now we can't do that at all. When we talk about human rights abuses, we have to look at ourselves. That we're the perpetrators now. And I think that that's a huge shift, and it's something that we need to, as a country and as individuals, deal with on a daily basis.
Mm-hmm. Well, on this program, we renamed the Military Commissions Act the Joe Stalin Torture, Detention, and Kangaroo Court Act of 2006. And, AC, it's my hope that the new Congress with Democratic leadership will revisit that bill. Pat Leahy, the senator who will head the Judiciary Committee, I think that's right. Well, no, let me get it right. I guess it's Intelligence. He'll head the Intelligence Committee. He has vowed to reopen that legislation, and I hope he will. Because I really think that not only is it bad politics, but it is going to set a standard that we will regret for decades to come.
Yeah, I would concur with that, definitely. And just note that some of these things, you know, started occurring during the Clinton era. So I'm not completely convinced that the Dems will do the right thing. Mm-hmm. You know, the early cutbacks on habeas corpus happened after the Oklahoma City bombing under the Clinton regime. So, you know, hopefully the Dems will do the right thing and will show some spine and revamp, or better yet, ditch this Military Commissions Act.
Torture Taxi is the book. We've been talking with co-author A.C. Thompson. Trevor Paglen is his companion on the book. The subtitle is On the Trail of the CIA's Rendition Flights. It's out in hardcover from Melville House Publishing, and I recommend it. Thank you, A.C.
Thanks a lot.
I'm Peter B. Collins. Thanks for listening to this hour of the Peter B. Collins Show.
Monta Vista Wine and Spirits in Monterey is family-owned for more than 40 years. That's why when you walk in, you're treated so well. They know what they're doing. Excellent service and great product. They have the best in high-end liquor and an excellent selection of the finest wines. It's the real deal. At Monta Vista Wine and Spirits, you can call ahead and your order will be waiting for you. They treat you like family. Open every day 9 to 9 at 19 Soledad Drive in Monta Vista Village. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits ask you to please drink responsibly.
The healthcare system is broken. That doesn't mean you have to be. Capitola Physical Therapy helps you return to the level of function you need with skilled personal attention. Whether it's golf, tennis, walking, or simply getting out of bed and maintaining your balance. Capitola Physical Therapy understands, cares, and knows how to help. Call Capitola Physical Therapy at 475-1200. That's 475-1200.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
The big storm brings a big change in the weather.
We weren't counting on this after that warm weekend. We're outside in shorts and t-shirts drinking wine.
The plot thickens in Britain.
Authorities now say the radioactive substance that killed a former Russian spy also poisoned one of his contacts.
And his wife. This is the CBS World News Roundup, late edition. I'm Bill Whitney. In the plains, it's been a day for digging out. Donna Rourke lives in Iola, Kansas.
We have probably 12 inches on the ground and drifting a little higher than that, but it was about 11 degrees when we got up this morning.
And to the east today for battening down as the season's first major storm hits the region. CBS News correspondent Cynthia Bowers reports.
Much of Missouri was paralyzed by the disastrous winter mix of sleet and snow that left hundreds of thousands of families without power and more than a foot of snow in some places. But this storm is also packing dangerous winds and heavy rains. From Alabama, where it ripped through the small town of Demopolis overnight, all the way up the Ohio Valley to waterlogged Cleveland, 800 miles away, and on to Pittsburgh, which by midday could lay claim to the title Windy City. Now it's bearing down on the East Coast.
Air travel is a mess for a second day. Thousands of passengers stranded as flights were canceled or delayed. Chicago's O'Hare Airport is just starting to get back to normal. Now this.
Well, we're here with CompUSA computer expert Meg Pixel.
Hiya, Bob.
Meg, I'm getting my brother Stu a notebook computer this holiday.
Oh, he's also going to need software, a bag, an optical mouse.
Wait. I don't like Stu that much.
Oh, relax, Bob. At CompUSA, you can get complete gift packs.
Uh-huh.
You start with your main item, like a Sony Vaio C140 notebook, now with $150 instant savings, and then save 10% on qualifying accessories when you buy three or more.
So I can get everything Stu needs?
Exactly. There are lots of complete gift packs to choose. See your local CompUSA for details.
What a guy I am. He usually gets me a bun warmer.
Will you be watching when LeBron shows us he's wearing his own number? When 8 and 24 add up to 100? Will you be watching when the Suns don't stop at 150? When Chris Paul breaks the ankles of convention? When Shaq reminds us fingers are for rings? Will you be watching when purple and gold become red and blue in L.A.?
Will you be watching when? The NBA on ESPN. It's a Western Conference showdown as Bibby and the Kings head to Dallas to take on Dirk and the Mavericks. Coverage begins tonight at 8 Eastern on ESPN.
In Britain, more developments today in the case of a former KGB spy who was poisoned with polonium-210. Alexander Litvinenko's wife and an Italian man who'd had lunch with Litvinenko before he fell ill have both tested positive for the same radioactive substance. Neither one is seriously ill. Radioactivity has been detected at more than a dozen sites, and CBS News correspondent Richard Roth says Litvinenko's radioactive body posed an unusual problem for the coroner.
Extra protective gear was wheeled and carried into the building where the autopsy was carried out, part of a series of precautions pathologists had to take. And Litvinenko's body was to have been sealed in a special coffin so that when it's buried, there will be no spread of radiation.
Human rights activists in Russia have released a letter from a jailed former Russian security officer who says he warned Litvinenko 4 years ago that Moscow had set up a special team to kill him and other opponents of the Kremlin. In Mexico City, the pomp and ceremony of a presidential inauguration was overshadowed by a brawl in Congress. CBS News reporter Adrian Barg was there.
After months of uncertainty, Mexico's new president finally took office amid a spectacle of legislators hurling chairs and throwing punches in a struggle to prevent Felipe Calderón from taking the oath. But the 44-year-old Harvard graduate did manage to get sworn in and also made it clear he won't be intimidated. His opponents tried everything to change the venue for today's ceremony, but Calderón refused to back down.
Calderón slipped in through a back door, quickly took the oath, and slipped out again. Among the witnesses to the scene in Congress was the U.S. delegation led by former President Bush. California Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger surveyed the scene and said, "It's good action." 45 people who claim they were molested by priests in the Roman Catholic Archdiocese of Los Angeles will share in a $60 million settlement announced today. Critics have accused Archbishop Roger Mahoney of stonewalling and say he's only settling to keep from being put on the witness stand at trials, but Mahoney says he's genuinely sorry for what happened.
We have time and time again said that this abuse has occurred and expressed my personal apology. Generally, but and now with the victims one by one.
The settled claims involve 22 priests. There are hundreds of people who still have claims pending against the Los Angeles Archdiocese. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
Get the good stuff.
Get a grip on the perfect holiday gift with Napa's Vice Grip two-piece groove lock plier set. Quick, precise adjustments let you work fast and grab hold of fasteners, nuts, and bolts of all shapes and sizes. The slide button adjusts up to 50% faster, and the anti-pinch design prevents handles from pinching fingers. Pick up your groove lock plier set at Napa for just $34.99, plus save an additional $15 with mail and rebate. Napa, get the good stuff.
Get the good stuff.
Life may never be clean, but with Hoover, your floors can be. Hoover Floormate cleans all your hard floors. Hoover Wind Tunnel 2 Upright vacuums your carpets. Buy them together and get up to a $100 mail-in rebate. So use Hoover and keep it clean. Offer varies. See Hoover.com and participating dealers for details. Expires 1-7-07.
CBS News has learned that despite months of...
And welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show. It's 7 minutes past the hour, and it's been quite a day today. First of all, I want to explain we had some technical problems in our first hour, and we were unable to bring you a live broadcast, so you heard a repeat performance from a recent Peter B. Collins Show. And I want to thank the entire team from Carl Williford here in Monterey to the team in Denver at Jones Radio Networks and our able producer Matt Renner in San Rafael, who is working to get all this stuff worked out. I need to send a couple of key messages here to our affiliates. We are live, and so you can return to your regular programming mode, automated or otherwise. And also, Matt, so far I don't have Instant Messenger up, so if you want to communicate with me, just drop me an instant message on my cell phone, and we'll get that up and running at the next break. So it's been a bit of a wild day for us. I have to tell you, I came to Monterey because I'm speaking to the United Nations group here tomorrow, the United Nations Association, And we made plans to borrow Carl Williford's studio. And then we think, because of the huge snowstorms and other weather problems in other parts of the country, that some of the telephone circuits we rely on were not available today. So I do apologize to our affiliates and to listeners, and I think we've got things somewhat under control here, or at least we'll pretend that that's the case. And my pal Scott Dick is right here live in the studio. He's our contributor on military and veterans affairs. Hello, Scott.
Hi, Peter. How are you? It's a pleasure to be here. It's been kind of an exciting ride. I loved watching you do this. It was fun.
Well, and if you want to call into the program right now, I don't think we're hooked up to take your calls, but we'll work on that in the next few minutes. And, I think I do have it now. Matt, go ahead and talk to me, just so we're confirming that we have all the...
Can you hear me?
Yeah. Okay. Excellent. So now I'll be able to hear music next time and that sort of thing. So that's a great leap forward. All right, now we can get down to business, and that little switch that we just flicked means that we can take your telephone calls.
Outstanding.
We're back to, almost 100%. And if you'd like to call in and talk about military issues, the situation in Iraq, which is deteriorating sharply, we would welcome your participation this hour. And the number to call is 1-888-5-PETER-B. That's 1-888-5-PETER-B. Scott Dick, it's been quite a week, and we have been following developments on our program. And you've got the Baker Commission, the study group that has leaked some of its plans. There was a big leak of a memo from National Security Advisor Stephen Hadley, deeply dissing Maliki, our puppet leader in Baghdad. There was the conference in Amman, Jordan, where the Iraqi leader basically snubbed President Bush and failed to show up to, well, just passed on dinner with him and the king on Wednesday night. And all of that is worth talking about, but I got to start with an arresting conversation I had yesterday with Ra'ed Jarar. He is an Iraqi who is involved with the Iraq Project at Global Exchange in San Francisco. He has been in touch, warned us yesterday, that he thinks that the regime in Baghdad could fall almost any day. And he said with Muqtada al-Sadr boycotting the government and pulling out almost a third of the members of parliament, that we have a situation here that is falling apart rapidly. Do your sources and your reading indicate anything as dire?
Well, I made a note on my pad, Peter, that said Maliki, big bullseye, is not under any kind of control, why the government's so weak, and he's going to be used as a scapegoat. That is my sense.
Mm-hmm.
But he's got that bullseye now firmly, painted on his forehead, and it's just a matter of time. And whether their side does it or our side does it doesn't really matter.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next question is, which is just important, or more important, is who are they going to get to replace him? Chalabi?
No, he's out of the action. Alawi? He's out of action.
Pete, you know who it's going to be? It's going to be somebody that the Iranians agree on. Because I don't know if you remember a long conversation we had with Dr. Bill Beeman, who's an expert in that area, and he said because al-Sistani is the senior Shia cleric in the Middle East, and the Iranians look at him as the senior religious leader, they have a lot of pull, he's got a lot of pull, and it's going to be somebody that is acceptable to al-Sistani, the Iranians, and Sadr, and may not be acceptable to us.
Mm-hmm. You make a very good point. And Ra'ed Jarar made the comment on the program yesterday that he doesn't think Muqtada al-Sadr himself wants to be the upfront, outfront leader. He prefers to work behind the scenes. But I think you're correct that al-Sistani, al-Sadr, and the Iranians are essentially going to be the three key votes for whoever the next leader of Iraq is.
And are we not already negotiating with Iran about stability in Iraq? Is that not true? We've been sending emissaries to Iran to discuss sort of the situation in Iraq?
Well, the Baker Group has had meetings with Iranian representatives in New York. I'm not aware of any envoys or any other back channel discussions that have occurred. We do have there was the meeting between Talabani, the number two leader in Iraq, with Ahmadinejad in Tehran this past Monday. But in terms of direct contact with the U.S., that is still at the theoretical stage. It's being promoted by the Baker Commission and appears to be one of the key findings that they're going to report on Monday when they issue a written document. But that, of course, flies in the face of the comments of the president himself. And I saw an interview with Condoleezza Rice last night on NBC where she was not operating in diplomatic mode. She was not trying to put lines out to Iran. She kept repeating what she sees as the negatives of that regime and kept calling it a regime, which we know is a Bush code word for next target.
Well, it seems to me in order for the Baker Commission to meet with representatives of Iran in New York, there were some serious backdoor, behind-the-door discussions.
Mm-hmm.
Those just don't happen, especially with something like the Baker Commission and in New York. So we're talking to them, whether we realize it or not, whether it's public knowledge or not, we're talking to them at a much greater level than I think most people would even guess going on. Remember, a lot of governments, and our government included, has an operational policy and they have a public policy. And as long as the operational policy is not illegal,
mm-hmm.
it's okay to do that because some things we have to keep secret.
Well, I understand that. There is a benefit to certain types of duplicity, certain types of diplomatic vagueness where you don't want to define exactly what you might do because it could produce an untoward result.
Like I had decided to fire Rumsfeld, but I didn't want to tell anybody until after the election because I didn't, you know, that kind of, wait, that's a different kind of
thing. It is a little different.
Yeah, yeah. I'm just trying to make that connection between lying and lying for the good.
He's Scott Dick, and I'm Peter B. Collins. We're here on the Peter B. Collins Show. We're going to go to a break here now. If you'd like to join us, lines are open at 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-573-8372. And we'll continue with Scott Dick in just a moment. You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show. Before you open your mouth, Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
The Monterey Peninsula College Holiday Jewelry Sale is here, starting Tuesday, December 5th through the 7th. It's your chance to buy gorgeous, one-of-a-kind silver and metal jewelry pieces, plus fabulous metal art, also handmade ceramics, over 20 of our most talented artists, with affordable, delicious jewelry. This sale is Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, December 5th, 6th, and 7th. Open all day till 7 p.m. at Monterey Peninsula College, 980 Fremont in Monterey. Follow the signs for parking. Don't miss it.
Hans Auto Repair in Seaside is hands down the finest Volvo maintenance and repair shop in Monterey County. Owners Mike Brooks and Tracy Palacco are both factory trained in Volvo service and repair. They provide outstanding quality and great service at reasonable prices. They only work on Volvos, so you know that your Volvo will be in caring and skilled hands. Hans Auto Repair is at 384 Olympia Avenue in Seaside, or you can call Mike and Tracy at 583-9820. That's 583-9820.
Miguel Sarmiento, owner and chef of the Mexicali Grill in New Monterey, cordially invites you to visit his restaurant and enjoy quality Mexican food prepared with California seasonings and sauces, all with personalized, attentive service. Miguel has more than 14 years of experience preparing Italian, Hawaiian, Mexican, French, and American dishes in restaurants throughout Monterey County.
Looking to savor the best Mexicali cuisine served with great margaritas or fine imported or domestic beers? Visit the Mexicali Grill today, located at 204 Lighthouse Avenue at the corner of Reeside Avenue in New Monterey. The Mexicali Grill is open daily for lunch from 11 to 3 and for dinner from 5 to 9. For takeout orders, call 375-9801. That's 375-9801. Miguel has a message for all Central Coast residents who appreciate delicious, high-quality Mexican food at reasonable prices.
Todos son bienvenidos en el Mexicali Grill. Try us. You'll like us a lot.
We get the latest traffic right now from Metro, and here's Mike. Go right ahead, Mike.
We have a major problem in the Bay Area on BART, 20 to 30-minute delays. This is due to a stalled train at 12th Street, Oakland. They are single-tracking trains to the station. You can expect a 30-minute delay to and from Richmond, 20-minute delays to Pittsburgh, Millbrae, SFO, and Daly City. In San Jose, there's an accident southbound 85 at Camden Avenue, and there's an accident in San Carlos, northbound 101 at Holly Street. Two cars are in the left lanes. Watch out for a stall in Millbrae, southbound 101 at SFO. That car is stalled in the left lane. And in San Francisco, there's a road hazard. Marina Boulevard at Doyle Drive, there is wood and other debris in the left lane of both northbound and southbound Marina at Doyle Drive. We have slowdowns now in Milpitas. Southbound 880 traffic is slow from Montague Expressway to Coleman Avenue in San Jose. Northbound 880 is slow from 237 to Mission Drive. Michael Kidd for...
We are back live here on the Peter B. Collins Show, live from our flagship station, KRXA 540 in Monterey. And it's been a bit of a wild day technically, but we're starting to get things a little bit here under control. You're welcome to call in and talk with me and Scott Dick, our contributor on military and veterans affairs. The number to call is 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-573-8372. Next hour, our man Brad Friedman from bradblog.com will be with us. Lots to talk about in the election protection front this week, as a new federal report indicates that those electronic voting machines are not worth diddly. And that's putting it very nicely. Scott Dick, let's talk next about this Stephen Hadley memo. Now, we know that this is a White House that tries to protect itself from leaks, that has gone ballistic over leaks about Dick Cheney's energy meetings, ballistic over the Valerie Plame leak, or at least they pretended to go ballistic about that. And this week, this very powerful memo, and a very fresh one at that, was delivered to the New York Times. And it appears to be one of the factors that caused Mr. Maliki to abruptly cancel his dinner plans with Bush and the King in Jordan on Wednesday.
Well, I just think this is the paint that they're using to paint that bullseye, as we were talking about before, on his forehead. And whether why he said that wrote this now, I have no idea. It just seems strange that it would come out now, mm-hmm. and the fact that it would be delivered, and then there's not this, like you said, this hue and cry over... It's some kind of setup for domestic public consumption, in my mind. Mm-hmm. That's the cynic in me.
Yeah. Well, and there's this one paragraph here that could apply to either Maliki or the guy in Washington. I'm going to read this, and I'm going to shade just a few of the descriptions here and see if you can't close your eyes and imagine this as a description of George W. Bush and his administration. It reads, "While there does seem to be an aggressive push to consolidate power and influence, it is less clear whether the leader is a witting participant. The information he receives is undoubtedly skewed by his small circle of advisors, coloring his actions and interpretation of reality. His intentions seem good when he talks with us, and sensitive reporting suggests he is trying to stand up to the hierarchy and force positive change.
Hello.
But the reality on the streets of Baghdad suggests that Maliki is either ignorant of what is going on, misrepresenting his intentions, or that his capabilities are not yet sufficient to turn his good intentions into action."
Doesn't sound like they're talking about Maliki at all.
Yeah.
And why should that be so remarkable? Maybe he just took a report out of some other... I don't know what to say, Peter. This is amazing. It blows me away. We got one guy in the bubble working with somebody else, one appointed guy working in a bubble who's working with another guy who's appointed working in a bubble. And I just, people, listeners can't see me, but I just have my hands in there because it's like, that, no wonder.
Yeah.
No wonder we have what we have in Iraq.
Because these bubbles don't overlap much.
Exactly. And when they do, it's all about public relations and photo ops. And next we're going to see Maliki out there with our troops doing photo ops with them standing in formation.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Peter, I don't know if you saw the report last week, but one of the generals in charge of the training of the Iraqi troops came out publicly and said, the people we've selected to do this, they're honorable guys. They're working hard. You know, when I hear we're working hard, that's
hard work.
Reminds me of the Colbert Report. He said, but these guys aren't adequate for the job. We need to get professionals to train the Iraqis. And I was like, what do we got? What do we have there? What we have there are National Guard troops and reservists. Some of them not combat veterans. Young, a lot of these guys are young, and they're taking Iraqis that are in combat, have been in combat, and teaching them about combat operations, and they're not combat vets. And the whole general, I'm not quite sure how he got this out. I'm not quite sure how long he's going to keep his job, but I find that fundamentally dissatisfying is not the right word. It's scary that they're still not picking the best people they can pick to train these Iraqis and get that going. Because remember, Peter, when they stand up, we'll stand down.
Well, and in trying to prop Maliki up, from the Hadley memo, here are some ideas of what the U.S. can do. Consider monetary support to moderate groups that have been seeking to break with larger, more sectarian parties, as well as to support Maliki himself as he declares himself the leader of his bloc and risks his position with Dawa and the Sadrists. Now, these are people kind of playing remote video games from Washington, imagining, you know, one of the ideas they had in going into this summit in Amman this week was that they were going to find a way to peel off Maliki from Sadr. And he's got a very difficult situation there. You know, the outside advice is you got to get Sadr's militia to disarm. But Maliki doesn't have the juice, doesn't have even one loyal brigade of Iraqi police or army forces that he can count on to do his bidding. And so how's he going to disarm the most powerful populist in Iraq?
The only way he can do that is he's going to have to go hat in hand to al-Sistani, as unpalatable as that's going to, and say, can you turn this, because he's al-Sistani Jr., no doubt about it. He needs to go to him and say, you need to turn this guy off. And what happens if al-Sistani says no? Then that's probably why he hasn't gone there, because no answer is better than a no answer.
Mm-hmm.
Because Sadr, then he's in, and there's nothing that Maliki can do about it. And how much money do we have to transfer to these guys, Peter, to support their government? I mean, we're talking about billions that have been lost and stolen, hundreds of millions and billions that have been looted from the Department of Defense. I'm talking about the Iraqi Ministry of Defense budgets. All of those people came from that whole sphere of people.
Well, and at the news conference with Bush and Maliki, Bush said that Maliki had told him how he's upset with Bush because Bush hasn't given him the resources and tools he needs to develop security and order in the country. And the idea is that by giving them more guns and helicopters and Toyota trucks and those kinds of things, that he can actually gain control. But the issue is that the very people who will fly those helicopters and drive those Toyotas cannot be trusted because they don't have real clear loyalty to the Maliki government.
There's a couple of weeks ago, Peter, where they reported 75,000 small arms that were bought. We're talking about AK-47s, the 9mm pistols, and weapons in between have been lost. They were purchased for the Iraqi army, and they've been lost. Now, where did they? They're not at the bottom of the Red Sea. They're not buried in some pit. So those 75,000 weapons are, I would say, in the hands of the insurgents, I put quotations on. You know, and they went from this lieutenant colonel who's in the Iraqi military, those cases of AK-47s went from his unit to the insurgents, and a lot of the Iraqi troops are not being paid. And so when they go to get their paychecks, their officers are demanding, yeah, you want your pay? Then I want 20% of it.
Mm-hmm.
So the money that's either...
And after they get paid, they take 2 or 3 days off to take the money home.
because they can't put it into the banking system because the leakage, the theft, is so great that the money won't stay there. So they have to go home, which means you can pretty much count on 25 or 30 or 40% of the troop strength to just disappear and then suddenly reform over a 3 to 7 day period after that.
Mm-hmm.
That's no way to fight. That's no way to drive a train. And Maliki, he keeps saying he wants more money. One Gulfstream and a couple of armored Mercedes aren't enough for him?
Hmm.
Does he need Swiss chalets and, a place in Beverly Hills, too?
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand. How much money can you burn through and waste and embezzle and steal before you're satisfied?
We'll continue on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Say 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
I am attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no-obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am attorney Sean Mills.
Just relax and enjoy your flight. This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network. You know, the government's always coming up with new ways to check us out, like those computer-generated risk assessments they've been secretly assigning to airline passengers. But my friends, there's really nothing to worry about when you fly, as long as you follow a few simple steps. And I promise that if you pay attention to what I say, well, I'm pretty sure you'll never be hauled away. Just try being like a white Christian, though you be Muslim, Sikh, or Jew. For with a little more experience, you can pass for Presbyterians, and then just watch them wave you through. Oh, try being like a white Christian. It's not that hard to get it right. There's no problem making your flight. If you don't look Sunni or Shiite.
Now this.
Get the good stuff.
Pick up a truckload of fun this holiday season with the new NAPA No. 55 Race Car Transporter Toy Truck. It's over 25 inches long with an authentic 2007 NAPA paint scheme. Made for ages 4 and up, this limited edition truck features stamped steel and ABS plastic construction with full cab interior, working lights, rear trailer doors, and engine horn and air brake sounds. Get it for just $29.99 only.
This week on Rockrilla Real Estate, meet Jim Ross, president and founder of National Real Estate Holding. Jim has been on our show the last several weeks talking about wealth building and offering great real estate investments in some of the great real estate markets of the United States. If you want to learn how to make money in a down real estate market, this is the show for you. And don't forget to be a part of the Tell a Friend Just Relax giveaway at the Legacy Villa in Palm Springs just by calling the show. That's this week on Rockrilla Real Estate, heard right here every Sunday morning at 10.
The Monterey Bay chapter of the United Nations Association invites you to the annual Human Rights Day luncheon, Saturday, December 2nd at noon at the Elks Lodge in Monterey. This event will honor Paul Klein, longtime volunteer leader of the Interfaith Homeless Emergency Lodging Program. And yours truly, Peter B. Collins, will deliver a talk. Are human rights being redefined in a tortured way? The public is invited. Log on to unamontereybay.org for more information or call 831-375-8301.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show, and I continue as your humble host, Peter B., live from Monterey today. And let me just take a moment to tell you about the drive down Highway 1 from San Francisco today. Visibility 8 to 10 miles off the coast. Blue skies, light waves, but that didn't deter hundreds of surfers. I wonder how they get their Fridays off. But it just reminds me of what a beautiful place California is and how lucky I and many other people are to live here. Scott Dick with us here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Lines are open for you if you'd like to talk with us about military issues, the prospects in Iraq. Our number is toll-free, 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-573-8372. I'm working from memory, and I hope I've got all those digits correct. Scott, one of the other issues that was interesting this week is that an F-16 was shot down in Anbar province. Let me correct that. It crashed.
I was just going to correct you. That's
and,
right.
And there, from there, the stories diverge. The U.S. military has given one account, and Al Jazeera Television has given another. Let's start with Al Jazeera. They claim that they have pictures of the downed craft. They have pictures of a dead pilot that were too grisly to broadcast. And let's keep in mind that Al Jazeera has broadcast many grisly images from Iraq that were sanitized by the Western corporate media. They say that their pictures indicate that a parachute deployed. And the U.S. military story is far different. They did, after 2 days, identify the pilot. He's from a squadron based in Arizona. They then said that they can't find him and that he has been declared missing. And by their accounts, no parachute deployed, and there was not, if I'm recalling correctly, not a known ejection. You know any more about this? Has anything else surfaced?
No, I'm looking at the same kind of reports, and I think, Peter, what this just, it might be as simple as they want to get their ducks in a row before they notify the family that he is, in fact, a KIA. As we know from past experience, they've messed this up left and right. The Air Force doesn't have a bad reputation, but the Army sure does. And maybe they've learned something from the bungling that the Army's done of notifying family members about when, where, and how their servicemen and women died. And this may just be a case of them getting their ducks in a row, finding out exactly where he was, what happened to him, and then being able to tell the family. If they notify the family that he's missing, that gives them a couple more days before they can say, okay, yeah, he was killed, and this is the situation. Mm-hmm. So I don't think it's nefarious. You know, if Al Jazeera has photos, I'm sure the DOD's looked at those. I'd be shocked and surprised if we can't even get. I mean, we can intercept the phone records for Americans, but we can't get Al Jazeera's original tapes mm-hmm. without the pixelation. So you know, maybe they're just going through the motions of doing the right thing. Yeah. I don't know.
The larger question that it raises, and I interviewed a professor from California State University Chico yesterday, Bo Grosskopf, who was saying, you know, this is a story in itself, but it underscores that we're still using a lot of air power to try to deal with the on-the-ground problems in Iraq, and that a lot of Americans aren't really aware of it. I pointed out to the professor that we have flown more sorties in Afghanistan this year than we have in Iraq, at least if we can believe the published accounts in the New York Times. What is the role of air power in an occupation?
Well, that's a good question, because most people have... Now, remember, I want to caveat what I'm about to say is I was in the Marine Corps and I was in the Army. And so all of my prejudices with inter-service rivalry come out in this way. The Air Force was designed, and you can, you know, everybody out there is Air Force. You can go to the history books and dig it up yourself. So I'm going to say it. Air Force was designed as airborne artillery. The mission has gotten so technologically forward that we don't think of the Air Force as being just that. They reach out and touch where we can't with artillery. That's their only purpose. We got into logistics later, but remember from the very beginning, from World War One, they were used to go behind the enemy lines where artillery couldn't reach and use their machine guns and their bombs to disrupt in the rear their airborne artillery. And when you can't fly because of weather, then you lose that deep battle sort of outreach, if you excuse the expression. And that's, if you're not sure you can touch it with artillery, because artillery is an indirect fire. You don't always have eyes on the target. Artillerymen get a report. They get a grid. They get a distance, etc. They lock and load. They shoot. They may never, rarely ever, artillerymen will tell you if they see the target, it's a problem. So a pilot gives them a chance to get eyes on a target to actually discern what's an enemy, what's a real target, what's not a target. It's a van full of Taliban. Is it a van full of women and children coming back from a wedding, for example? So it's really airborne artillery with eyes and a brain. And that they're out there flying. As we know, there's 20,000 troops in Afghanistan. They're not all artillery units. We've been taking artillerymen off of cannons and putting them on the ground doing patrols. So they're strapped for artillery. So then, of course, Air Force fills the bill.
Mm-hmm.
That's my take on all that.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, when you have piloted vehicles, and that's why the Air Force is so gung-ho about developing remotely piloted vehicles that have attack and bombing capability, then we'd lose a $40 million drone in Iraq, it wouldn't have the same impact as mm-hmm. a $40 million F-16 with a pilot inside.
The issue to me, though, is that as a tactic during an occupation where we are receiving essentially guerrilla attacks from civilian areas, that this is a very dangerous kind of weapon base to use because, air power, as precise as we can get it, is still not able to separate the bad guy from the woman in the next apartment.
Well, let me explain maybe what's going on. They have very sophisticated artillery that the moment artillery-seeking radar, the moment, for example, that a mortar round is fired, within probably 30 seconds, they can tell you the grid square that was located down to 10 digits, which is about 10 meters variance. Then the theory goes they can load that GPS. They can load a GPS designated bomb into a rocket. Load those GPS coordinates in that bomb and hit where that mortar round came. And if the airplane is already on station, it could literally be 2 or 3 or 4 minutes. Which is, you have to be good to pack, for example, 81 millimeter mortar faster than that. Get on a vehicle and get it out of there. So that may be the whole thing, is that they don't want to fire return fire with artillery because you never know where those guys go. You really
mm-hmm.
don't.
Mm-hmm.
But if you can hit them with a GPS-designated bomb with the GPS that's been given to you by the radar, triangulated by the radar, it's very sophisticated, it works, then I think probably that's why you have those guys out there fulfilling that
mm-hmm.
daylight, eyes on, it's that second sort of line where a pilot can say, yeah, they're not going to see the mortar at 200, 300, 400 knots, but at least they have a brain up there operating.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think, though, that we saw the limits of this demonstrated in Lebanon this past summer, as Israel was using primarily air power to try to seek and destroy the Hezbollah rocket positions. And they were able to get a bead on those locations in many cases, but they were inside houses or apartment complexes, and I can understand, this presents a separate issue of the way Hezbollah, used civilian locations as military bases or operating points. My concern, though, is that we believe in a kind of video game manner that it's sanitized and antiseptic to drop these precision weapons and alleged precision weapons from the sky, and that there'll be less damage to civilians and less risk to American troops.
Well, that's the hypothesis. And what's interesting is the Americans, we believe that about our warfare. We also believe that about our food, Peter. We don't want to realize that the killing goes on when we eat, and we don't want to do that. We don't want to believe that about our military, that we might actually kill women and children, civilians. The military has a sanitized for your protection term called collateral damage.
Right.
They don't say, yeah, we just killed 25 Afghani women and children in a bomb explosion, because that's bad.
Mm-hmm.
And the media will just report that and get people all upset.
Yeah. Let's take a call. Joe's on the line from Phoenix this afternoon. Joe, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show with Scott Dick.
Hey, I appreciate you letting me talk. I'll be honest with you. I didn't know about the pilot until you had talked about it, and I looked in the newspaper, and sure enough, I flew with him my last couple days in the Air Force. I was given an incentive ride in an F-16, and we flew to Grand Canyon and back, and we talked a little bit about you know, a little bit about the war and stuff like that during the flight, but I guess my point was that, I mean, I've always been against the war, and it was one of the reasons why I chose to retire from the military when I did, but, to know this person, to shake his hand, be part of his life, at least for a few hours, it puts this war even in more of a personal context than what it would have been before, you know. And
well, and Joe, let's identify your colleague. It's Major Troy Gilbert, who had been deployed from the Luke Air Force Base there in Arizona.
He was a captain at the time when we flew. It was October of 04. And he was a wonderful individual. My mother got to meet him. We did like a 30-minute pre-flight briefing and before the flight. I mean, he really went out of his way, you know, to recognize my 21 years in the military by this incentive flight. And you know, like I said, it was a shock, and I didn't know about it. I was here in my classroom grading papers, and so I pulled out the newspaper and I looked. And as soon as I saw the picture, I was like, oh my God! I mean, this is the man who, you know, I flew with, and at least for that one day, and it's, you know, again, it shocked me, even, and I'm somebody who's dead set against the war, and it just goes to show you how some people are just completely insulated from what's going on, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Joe, I'm sorry that you knew him. I mean, I'm not sorry. I'm sorry for your loss, because it personalizes something that for a lot of Americans is just totally abstract. You know, it was a huge shopping day the day after Thanksgiving. People go about their business with nary a thought, I think, to what our troops are going through and where they're stationed, whether it's, you know, the icy colds. It's sort of a cliche. It sounds like a cliche. But, you know, if you haven't lived it, if you haven't slept a couple of nights in the dirt on the desert floor, then you can never, you just can't... identify with us.
Mm-hmm. Well, Joe, I'm really pleased to get your call under difficult circumstances, but it's nice to be able to connect with somebody who actually knew Major Troy Gilbert. Thank you for checking in today. We're going to take a break and return here on the Peter B. Collins Show, and if you'd like to call us, I want to give you a different toll-free number to use because we're having a little technical problem with our regular number. You can call us today toll-free at 888-579-2540. That's here at KRXA in Monterey. Again, the number 888-579-2540. And I'll say it one more time because it's a fresh number for most of you. That's 888-579-2540. We'll continue in just a moment right here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
As your licensed real estate broker, our mission at Pruneda Real Estate Advisors is excellence and contribution, and our only concern is to promote and protect your interests. Quite simply, if the best result for you means no deal for us, we will immediately tell you. Selling but concerned about tax consequences? As a CPA, I can advise you of the implications of any capital gain. Seeking income-producing property? With a Stanford engineering degree, I have developed cash flow analysis to evaluate various opportunities. If you're buying a home, my promise is to help you find your dream house under the most favorable terms. We at Pruneda Real Estate Advisors are dedicated to our community. We will contribute $250 out of every local transaction to the school of your choice. I am Laura Pruneda of Pruneda Real Estate Advisors. Call me at 753-5310. That's 753-5310. Stop by 1271 North Davis Road in Salinas, across from Applebee's, or browse to PrunedaRealEstate.com.
Tired of that dreaded drive into town for fresh quality produce? The Produce Barn in Carmel Valley Village has the perfect solution to your problem. Owners Ed Drobnik and Don Bikey have over 50 years of combined experience in the produce business and are passing the substantial savings on to their customers. The Produce Barn offers a wide selection of conventional and certified organic seasonal fresh fruits and vegetables. We also carry a fine selection of specialty candies and snacks, exquisite gourmet gift items, and feature Freedom Meats, savory sausages, bacon, and marinated fresh meats. Heck, we even throw in free recipes. So, whether you're a restaurant, lodge, home chef, or treasured village visitor, stop by the Produce Barn at 13750A Center Street in the Center Street Plaza. behind Wells Fargo, and right next to the Chatterbox. We're open 7 days a week.
The Produce Barn in Carmel Valley Village, 659-5916. That's 659-5916. The Produce Barn.
KRXA 540 checks your traffic. Here's Mike at Metro.
Well, good afternoon. First, on Aptos Creek Road at Soquel Drive, there is an accident. Two vehicles are involved. Minor injuries reported. The CHP is on the scene. Capitola, northbound 101, northbound 1 after Park Avenue, there's an accident on the shoulder. Three cars are involved. CHP is also on the scene there. A stall in Monterey, southbound 1 before 68. That right lane is blocked there. San Juan Batista, 129 at 101, accident on the shoulder. Two cars are involved. And at Santa Cruz, northbound 1, the N-Line Avenue off-ramp is still closed for long-term road work. Toyota owners through December 15th at participating Toyota dealers, donate a new toy worth $10 or more. Receive a $9.95 oil and filter change. Details at toyotacoupons.com. Michael Kidd for 540 KRXA.
I said, son, you know, it's go ask your mom. It brought back such precious memories of my days in business school, my favorite stool. Then my wife said, hey, I'm worried because they're starting to deploy. I said, honey, don't be silly, we'll send someone else's boy, because we all make sacrifices. And in a war, that's what the poor people are for. I said, fight on for freedom's sake, long as I don't shake and bake.
Chicken off.
Call me Chicken.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show, and we're here with Scott Dick, our contributor on military and veterans issues, and Sheldon joins us on the line. Good afternoon, Sheldon. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hey, what's going on, man?
We're talking to you.
Hey, I love your show, man. It's very insightful, right on the money. A lot of research. It's a great show.
Well, thank you. I really appreciate that.
I'm praising you. I'm just throwing my hands up in the air, man. I'm just so frustrated. It's just, if it ain't one thing, it's another. You know, and the bad thing is I watch C-SPAN and all this every day, and just I get more annoyed. I wish I could just go off like in a bubble, kind of like where the president's at, and not be in reality. You know, every time that
that's a very interesting point right there, Sheldon, that most Americans are in touch with the true reality of Iraq, and our president still is talking about Al-Qaeda and 9/11.
And I know that's what's so... It's almost like it was made up when they say the name Al-Qaeda in Iraq. That's the name of the group. And it's like, give me a break. Al-Qaeda in Iraq? I mean, when this president talks about they hate us for our freedoms, I get so frustrated. They go, they hate freedom. They can't stand freedom. It's like, I've never met one person that couldn't stand freedom. I mean, look, they don't hate Finland because of their freedom. They don't go around bombing them. They don't hate Scotland because of their freedoms.
Right.
They ain't over there bombing them. I mean, they hate us maybe because we're tyrannical. And there's 190 countries in the world, and we have bases on 130 of them. Maybe that might be a reason why.
Well, Sheldon, I appreciate that you're willing to look at us as a contributor or perhaps even a central cause of some of these problems. Since 9/11, people who have raised questions like that have been attacked for being un-American.
I know. That's what's so pathetic about it. It drives me insane. I mean, even my own mother. I mean, that's what's bad. Is they don't want to see. They'd rather turn it off and not believe it,
Sheldon,
than to look at it, the evidence.
You know what's interesting is that in 2002, late 2002, Lynn Cheney came out with a list of insufficiently patriotic Americans. And the expert that I mentioned earlier on the show, Dr. William Beeman, made that list because he was questioning the administration's basic assertions about the Iraqi you know, the build-up to the war. And she's never come off that list of unpatriotic Americans. She's never said, you know, that was a mistake. They actually wrote a list of, and they mentioned college professors, and he's a college professor. It's the, we're free as long as we agree with whatever government, you know, whoever is in power at the time. And when you That's begin to dissent, then all of a sudden we're unpatriotic. It frosts me. I can't explain it.
And that's the scary part about this. If people don't wake up, I mean, it's really scary that people are so blind. Well, they're not really blind. They're so busy with their life. They're working. If the president's got us working two jobs for $5 an hour apiece, well, not me, but they're
yeah. But let's not make excuses for people, because everybody finds time for 6 hours of primetime television a night. And
you're right,
you know, if you just
Idol,
shave an hour off that. If you shave an hour off that, you could be in touch. I mean, even 10 minutes with Keith Olbermann would give you a sense of what's going on.
I'll tell you what, the special comments, I mean, come on. Just unbelievable. I mean, speeches. I mean, it's just, I mean, I just listened to him in just silence. Just, you know, at one point you were throwing your hands up in there saying, yes. And then the other point you almost teared up going, because you're so angry. I mean, it's amazing.
Yeah.
I always speeches are beautiful.
Sheldon, I suggest next time you watch a C-SPAN speech with any of the Republican leadership or Bush, that you get one of those cervical collars. It'll keep you from having whiplash, because I get whiplash every time I watch and talk.
Well, I did watch that Newt Gingrich one on C-SPAN, and I was floored when I heard it. When he was talking about that, I was like, man, I can't believe what he just come out of his mouth.
Yeah.
He actually is in this mode where he's continuing the same gig, the same deal with Bush. It's just going to be the same thing.
Right.
But you know what? One quick point.
Okay.
There is an issue here. I think they realize, and I think anybody can realize, the longer we're over there, we're building a tab. And we're going to get our money, one way or another, from Iraq. And basically what we're doing over there is creating a big tab, and we're going to bill them.
Well, I'll just offer you...
The problem is it costs people lives.
Sheldon, there's an interesting counter theory that comes from Greg Palast, and that is that the Bushies and their oil patch pals wanted to control the oil supply in Iraq, not to exploit it and generate revenues from it, but to keep it off the market so that the rest of the available crude oil supply is worth that much more. And that theory so far appears to have been working. I will reserve judgment long term. Sheldon, thanks for the call. I want to jump to somebody else because Leonard's on the line from Arizona. Hi, Leonard.
Hi, how you doing?
Doing well today.
Well, that's good to hear. Basically, I'm calling you because, quite frankly, it was a really intriguing show to hear yesterday. Basically on the logical theory of the government of Iraq being overthrown with a coup, I believe that this would be done on purpose because the other theory is this. We have the government disintegrate because we need to start all over again. This is some of the elites, I believe, that they're theorizing, these advisors, and they're saying if this government were to disintegrate, what would happen is we could go back in and put all the pieces back together again and, you know, make good for what we went wrong on. Of course, I think that's totally ludicrous now, but I believe that would be a good reason for them in their minds to...
Well, Bush has said on another subject that you don't get any do-overs, and I don't see that we have much to work with if we allow this government to fall. Scott?
Well, my question is, how do you know when this government has disintegrated? I mean, what's the difference? If we pulled out his protection, our American Special Forces protection and some other things, how could, like right now, there's a government that hasn't already disintegrated?
I believe that the reason they would do this is to have an open coup for the PR of the whole thing. They can say, well, you know, look, this is why we're going in now. It was a sovereign government. It's no longer sovereign. But, and then one last quick second point, and thank you both for your valuable information. I believe that... You know, this sounds ruthless, but they're playing politics with our soldiers' lives, my fellow soldiers' lives, soldiers I knew that died in Iraq, and we need to get political. We need to make a list of the top generals and the top politicians, whether they be Democratic and Republican. We need to give our leaders an excuse. Look, the people are clamoring for this totally corrupt and negligent leader that we have. This is ridiculous.
Yeah.
People supporting him, this people don't want to hear this. They say it's radical, but the people on the street are saying this. There are 20 to 30% of the hardcore loyalists, and there's no way around it. We are going to have to face them.
All right, Leonard, I'm out of time here, but I thank you for the call today. Scott, just about 30 seconds remaining. Any final thoughts for us?
Well, that Chuck Hagel piece, I think, is just the beginning of the rats off the conservative, compassionate conservative sinking ship. There are people are going to, Republicans who want to run in 08 are going to distance themselves with marathon-like sprints away from Bush and the Iraqi policy, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
So that's just, I think, just the first shot in what's going to be a massive defection of Republicans from the conservative, this neocon base.
Major Scott Dick, thanks for joining us today. Always a pleasure to have you here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Brad Friedman's going to join us next. Stay tuned right here.
Don't your children deserve the very best for the holidays? Locally owned and operated for 36 years, Thinker Toys has been the first holiday shopping stop for generations of parents in Carmel and Monterey, where owner Mark Phillips and his staff take great pride in personally serving every customer. Thinker Toys is dedicated to the proposition that fun, learning, and personal growth go together perfectly. While Thinker Toys specializes in educational toys for newborns through six-year-olds, there's no better place than Thinker Toys to buy great toys for thinking kids of all ages. Make your child's Christmas, Hanukkah, Christmaka, Kwanzaa, or the holiday of your choice extra special with high-quality educational toys and games from Thinker Toys. Open every day at 10 a.m. in Carmel at 7th and San Carlos and in Monterey at the Del Monte Center. Drop by Thinker Toys today and tell Mark that Peter B. sent you. Happy Holidays from Thinker Toys.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself. CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. Fidel Castro's absence from the celebrations of his 80th birthday has raised fresh questions about the state of his health after surgery in July. We have some new information from Havana.
I'm Laura Logan. Fidel Castro remains seriously ill, but CBS News has learned that he does not have cancer, despite the rumors. However, we're told it's unlikely he'll recover enough to ever return to power, even if he survives for years.
The most recent public image of Castro is a video broadcast a month ago. He looked very frail. Cuba's birthday bash culminates tomorrow with a big parade. A niece says the family is urging him not to attend. In an average December, Kenosha, Wisconsin gets about 8 inches of snow. Here it is the first of the month, and they've got 16 inches on the ground. Resident Cindy Athan says Arctic air has moved in behind the storm.
As long as we don't lose power, I think that probably is the biggest concern, because if you lose power, you lose heat, and trying to stay warm in this weather can be difficult.
It's been difficult from the Midwest to the Atlantic seaboard as a storm front moves east with snow, ice, rain, and fierce wind. Right now there's a tornado watch in western Connecticut. British authorities, joined now by FBI experts, continue to find more traces of polonium-210, the radioactive substance that killed former KGB spy Alexander Litvinenko. CBS's Amy Gutman brings us up to date.
A hotel in southern England was evacuated this afternoon for radiation testing. It's believed that Mario Scaramella, one of the last people to see Alexander Litvinenko, stayed at that hotel recently, which is why police were looking at the site and conducting radioactive testing to see if any of the substance was on site.
Scaramella has tested positive for polonium-210, and authorities say Litvinenko's wife was also exposed. But apparently, neither one got a large enough dose to become seriously ill. Talk about bare-knuckle politics. Punches and chairs were thrown in the Mexican Congress today as members of the opposition party tried to prevent Felipe Calderon from taking the oath of office as president. His security agents brought him in through a back door. He was quickly sworn in and left. CBS News reporter Adrian Barb reports the post-inaugural events were not marred by protests.
After all the pushing and shoving was done, there was finally time for celebration, complete with a military salute to Mexico's new president and music. Felipe Calderón made a strong message to his nation, offering dialogue and an olive branch to his detractors, but also saying he's not going to wait to get down to work. Adrian Barb, CBS News, Mexico City.
Starting in 1997, 21 men have been found strangled in suburban New Orleans. Now there's an arrest. A 42-year-old man from Houma, Louisiana, has been charged with two of the earliest murders. On Wall Street today, the Dow down 27 points to finish at 12,194. This is CBS News.
The holidays are here, and Guitar Center is your one-stop destination for every musician on your gift list. Save 50, 60, up to 75% off. Plus, don't pay for a full year on total purchases of $299 or more. Great holiday deals like acoustic guitar packs from Fender, only $99. Casio portable keyboards, just $79. Plus, Guitar Center gift cards make the perfect stocking stuffer. Guitar Center's December deal days are going on now. Don't miss it. Now online at GuitarCenter.com.
Have you ever found a penny on the ground? Of course you have. Well, imagine that for the next 50,000 steps you take, there's always a penny at your feet. It feels like that.
Have you ever put on a pair of clean pants and found a $20 bill in the pocket? Man, that's a good feeling, right? Well, take that feeling and multiply it by 25 pairs of pants, and you're close.
New GEICO customers report average annual savings of $500 on their car insurance. Discover how it feels and how much you could save. Go to GEICO.com. Simple as that.
Actor Michael Richards has been saying he's sorry ever since his racist rant in a Los Angeles comedy club. Now, arrangements have been made for a face-to-face meeting with the people who were the targets of his remarks. KNX Radio's Todd Lights has the story.
Attorney Gloria Allred says a retired judge will mediate the sit-down involving Richards and the three men and one woman he repeatedly called the N-word during a recent stand-up routine. Allred calls it a positive step and Richards' acknowledgement.
That what he said was offensive, was wrong, and was hurtful, and then we look forward to his apology to them, face-to-face, man-to-man.
The retired judge will then decide if the four victims should be compensated. Kyle Doss is one of the four and says he appreciates Richard's willingness to meet with him and his friends.
Whatever the retired judge says, we will accept.
The meeting will take place sometime after the first of the year. Todd Lights, CBS News, Los Angeles.
Big drug haul in Rio Grande City, Texas, near the Mexican border. Federal agents say they found nearly 9 tons of marijuana in two underground bunkers. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
You've got the Peter B. Collins Show. Peter B. Collins Show, and I'm still your humble host, Peter B. We're live from Monterey, California today in the studios of our flagship station, KRXA 540. Great to be back here on the Central Coast. It is a spectacular clear winter day here. And every Friday, we usually spend this hour with Brad Friedman, the proprietor of the website and blog, bradblog.com. And we're looking for Brad right now. He should join us here shortly. It's been kind of a wild day, I have to say. We rely on computers and technical equipment to keep us on the air. Oh. Hey, Hal? Can you come here a sec? We have found Brad. He's in a hotel room and he can't dial out. So, can you write down this number over here on the screen and give him a call? We'll get him on the air here shortly. The big news this week in election protection issues is that NIST, the National Institute for Standards and Technology, has issued a report saying it's time to scrap the DREs. That's the electronic voting machines that are, DRE stands for Direct Record Electronic. And we are going to talk with Brad about this, but this is a major development. And it has been followed up by a proposal from California's senior senator, Dianne Feinstein, to rewrite the regulations related to electronic voting machines. And I think that Brad will say that Feinstein is on the right track but needs to go further. So this is an amazing development
for NIST. And I'll point out that NIST is the same agency, probably not the exact same technical team, that evaluated the collapse of the Twin Towers in New York on 9/11/01. I don't have great confidence in the report that they wrote about that. But this plays to my bias, I'll be honest with you, and therefore I'm happy to embrace it. But I think it's going to be very interesting to see as we move forward whether there is a broader groundswell, because we had problems in at least 25 states, significant problems, and perhaps even more jurisdictions were affected. And so I hope that there is very broad-based support for cleaning up our election machines and the very election processes. Have we found his Bradness?
You have indeed.
Hello, Brad. Welcome to the show today.
How are you, Peter?
I'm doing fine.
You sound like you rested up after Thanksgiving.
Well, yes.
Good. Me too, a little bit. You'll be happy to know.
Well, you finally... Did you actually get off the grid for a little while?
No, but...
okay.
But I used a different part of my brain, did a little bit of long overdue blog maintenance and...
Oh, hold on. We've still got Brad here. Go ahead.
Oh,
we lost you for a sec. You're back. Go ahead.
Okay. No, I say I didn't get off the grid, but I did do some long overdue blog maintenance. So we now have a dark on light scheme over at bradblog.com for those folks who have complained or had problems with the yellow on the classic yellow on green. So
yes.
Got a few other things done for a change. That was quite nice.
Well, I've been to the site since you made those changes, and I think it's very attractive, and I like having the option. I do like your classic colors.
Well, a lot of folks do. That's why I didn't want to change it. I wanted to give folks the option. You know, I'm pro-choice.
Yes, you are.
Yes, indeed.
Well, Brad, I want to kick off our hour here with the NIST report that you blogged out just yesterday.
Yes.
And I was vamping until we could reach you, describing NIST and the recommendation that DRE machines that cannot be audited are simply not acceptable here in the United States.
Yeah, this is a rather extraordinary development, actually, and there's been some misunderstanding of those reports, and I hope to have more details and explanation for folks on Monday, but I'll give you the skinny right now. Essentially, NIST, the National Institute for Standards and Technology, they are the group, essentially, that makes the technical recommendations to the Federal Elections Assistance Commission concerning electronic voting machines in America and the standards, the federal standards, such that we have any, that should be imposed. Well, they have now come out with their new recommendations for the new standards, which would be the 2007 standards, and they have said essentially that touchscreen voting machines that don't have a paper trail should no longer be recommended. Furthermore, and this is the part that even the Washington Post didn't seem to understand when they ran it today on their front page, 2 days after the Brad blog, I might add.
Mm-hmm.
But the part that they did not add is that another recommendation says that paper trails, these paper rolls that are attached to touchscreen voting machines, should no longer be used either. So, just to connect those dots, they say touchscreen should not be used without the so-called voter verified paper audit trail. And secondly, they say the paper voter verified paper audit trail that we currently have on these touchscreen machines should not be used. Which pretty much means no more DRE, as they call them, touchscreen voting machines, at least in as much as this recommendation, which is a draft recommendation, it can still change, and then it has to be adopted by the EAC, the Elections Assistance Commission. Whether they'll adopt it without changing it, however, is another matter. We'll see. One thing we have learned about the EAC is that they are rather hopelessly compromised at this time and do not do things in the best interests of the people. There is, well, I'll share with you in a moment, an unreported bit of news that I hope to be reporting early next week, underscoring just how compromised the Elections Assistance Commission actually is.
Mm-hmm.
Either way, good news, very good news indeed on this NIST report, which underscores yet again what folks like you and me have been saying about these voting machines for Lord knows how long now.
Well, Brad, can we take a little trip to Venezuela for a moment?
Oh, yes, okay.
Hugo Chavez has his re-election up this coming weekend, and the opponent has given his blessing to the use of electronic voting machines in Venezuela because the paper receipt that is issued is not on a toilet paper roll. It is given to the voter, and the voter actually scans that and says, oh, yeah, this accurately reflects my vote. And then they drop it in a secondary ballot box at the polling place. Maybe they put a signature or some imprint on it, I don't know. But this seems to be a fairly simple process that does have a greater probability of the voter actually reviewing the paper receipt. Because one of the problems we discovered in the midterm elections this year is that even in jurisdictions equipped with the paper trails, the voters didn't know what the hell to do with them.
Well, that's right. They don't know to review them. In many cases, they can't review them because the screen, the ballots are so long, sometimes the information scrolls by the view window. That is, if they know to look at it in the first place. You know, after the primaries this summer, there was a story that PBS NewsHour ran, and you can find it again at BradBlog, where it actually shows one of the California election workers instructing voters, oh, don't look at that paper. Don't lift the door. Remember, on the Diebold machines, you actually have to lift this plastic, opaque plastic door to even look at that voter-verified so-called audit trail. He was instructing them, oh, no, don't look at that. That's just for the headquarters. The voter should confirm it off the screen. So there's a lot of confusion about it, and in fact, in Ohio, I believe it was Ohio, in the general election, we had some of the so-called paper audit trails actually came in blank. In other words, they hadn't been printing all day long, and nobody even noticed. So that just underscores again how these audit trails don't work, they fail, and frankly, when people bother to audit them, I mean, I'm talking about elections officials after the election, they find out that they're inaccurate. They jam, they fail about 10% of the time. The numbers that they show don't match up with the numbers in the machine. America does not need paper trails. America needs paper ballots, and that's a point that I've been trying to make quite a bit of late. Especially as Congress is now looking at, finally, looking at election reform legislation. I just hope they don't go for the paper trails scam and they understand that what we need is paper ballots.
And you're going to have to keep saying that until you're blue or green or yellow in the face.
Yeah.
You got to catapult that propaganda.
That's it. I guess I do. And but if that's what it takes, I will do it. And I'm in touch with some of the folks who are creating that legislation in Congress, and I'm trying to make the case with them. But you know, it's politics. And in the case of the Rush-Holt bill, which is the legislation in the House, which has had the most support, it actually has a majority of House members are already signed on as co-sponsors to the existing bill. Of course, they have to rewrite it and reintroduce it in the next session. But in that case, you know, they have been pushing for these voter-verified paper audit trails, VVPATs, as they call them, mm-hmm. for so long now, it may be difficult for them to say, oh, well, we were wrong about that for the last 3 years.
Yeah.
And so we'll see. There's a lot of machinations going on politically, but boy, oh, boy, you can bet I'm going to be pushing for those ballots, not those paper trails, because I think we're going to end up with a regarding it as Help America Vote Act Part 2,
mm-hmm.
if we put through legislation right now that standardizes these touchscreen machines with or without paper trails.
Yeah, I understand. We're going to take a break here and return with Brad Friedman from BradBlog.com. And we have a special toll-free number for you to call today because I'm in Monterey here at KRXA 540. So you can call in to talk with Brad and me toll-free at 888-579-2540. I'm going to repeat the number a couple of times because it's new for many of you. 888-579-2540. You dial 1-888-579-2540, and you can talk with me and Brad for the rest of this hour right here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
You're listening to the new KRXA 540.
Come on in and you will see the Central Avenue Bakery. Smell the bread, try the scones. Everything so tasty you want to take it all home. Vegetarian is a pillar affair. We make our meals in a kosher kitchen. I'll make mine falafel with hummus too. A side of couscous and a baba ghanoush, yeah. Open at 7 every day. Have a cup of coffee or your morning latte. Come on in and sit right down. It's the friendliest place in town. Central Avenue Bakery. In PG.
For an unforgettable omelet experience, visit the Central Avenue Bakery today. 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey, PG.
The holiday season is here again, and what perfect time to take advantage of the great selection and low prices of the finest used cars in the county. At ZNS Auto Dealership in Monterey, they have been partners for over 30 years. Located at 1179 Del Monte Boulevard, ZNS wants to be your partner in choosing that right car for you or your loved one. ZNS has it, whether it's a truck, SUV, minivan, compact, or luxury automobile. Open every day on Del Monte Boulevard, Monterey. ZNS Auto, where partnership works.
Pacific Grove Liquors is the one stop on the Monterey Peninsula for fine wine, spirits, and beers at very reasonable prices. Whether you seek the ideal California or imported wine, quality distilled spirits like top shelf tequilas, single malt and blended scotches, and premium vodkas, PG Liquors is your beverage outlet. Love beer? PG Liquors boasts hundreds of handcrafted ales and lagers, as well as all the big names. Make Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand your wine, beer, and liquor store.
PG Liquors reminds you to always drink responsibly.
It's Behind the Wheel, the Consumer New Car Review. I'm Peter B. Collins. This week, I've been behind the wheel of the 2006 Toyota Prius sedan, the hot-selling hybrid that has everybody talking. The Prius has a gas-electric combo power plant, and the gas portion is a 1.5-liter four-cylinder unit. When the light turns green, you start off with electric power, and the gas transitions in very smoothly as needed to accelerate. I was pleasantly surprised when I punched it to jump from 60 to 80 on the freeway, uphill. And it had all the power I needed. Inside, it's roomy and comfortable for a compact with decent cargo space in the rear, and it's got a generous accessory package. One design flaw to me, the hatchback has limited visibility in the rearview mirror. Toyota fixed this with a nice backup camera. You should definitely test drive a Prius before you buy your next car. By the numbers, the Prius gets 51 mpg on the highway, averages 60 in the city. It stickers in California for about $27,000. Behind the wheel, I'm Peter B. Collins.
KRXA 540 checks your Friday commute. Here's Mike at Metro.
And I hope you're going home. Traffic on this Friday afternoon is going well in the Monterey Bay area. First, southbound 101, leaving Silicon Valley, is heavy from Highway 85 to Coyote, Gulf Creek Drive. Also continues heavy through Gilroy, Prunedale, and into Salina. Northbound and southbound 101 is heavy in and out of Salinas. Northbound 101 also slows at the San Miguel Canyon turnoff. An accident to report, Aptos Creek Road at Soquel Drive. Two vehicles are involved. Minor injuries reported. The CHP is on the scene. Construction in Santa Cruz, northbound Highway 1. The M-Line off-ramp closed for long-term road work. Also, Salinas Sanborn Road between Abbott Street and Highway 101 is closed due to round-the-clock road work. You have enough to do this holiday season. Let iRobot's Kuba and Romba wash and vacuum your floors so you don't have to. Robots make the perfect gift. Shop iRobot.com and save. I'm Michael Kidd for 540 KRXA.
All alone.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show. Live today from KRXA 540 in Monterey. That's why we have a special toll-free number if you want to call in and talk with Brad Friedman about election integrity, election protection issues. That number is 888-579-2540. 888-579-2540. One more time, 888-579-2540.
Now, Brad, on the heels of this NIST report, which basically says no confidence in DRE touchscreen voting machines and that the paper trail doesn't fix the problem, Senator Feinstein of California is promising to introduce some legislation. Do you think that what she's outlined so far goes far enough?
Well, my understanding is that essentially she'll be introducing the equivalent of the Rush-Holt H.R. 550 bill, the one that we were talking about that it was introduced in the House. There's a lot of good stuff in Holt's bill concerning opening up the hardware and software audits for ballots and so forth, although in the current iteration of the bill, the audit protocol needs to be beefed up, and it needs to be taken away from the EAC, which, as I said, is hopelessly corrupted. I understand that the next version of the bill will, in fact, take away the responsibility for audits from the EAC, since they're just completely useless. And my understanding is that her new bill will mirror the one in the House that Rush Holt is putting forward. I'm hoping, however, that her bill, at the very least, will require paper ballots versus those paper trails, because Holt's bill, if it was passed as is, would essentially institutionalize the touchscreen voting machine. It would require the, that so-called voter-verified paper audit trail, but as we have now learned, that is not good enough, and even many of the previous supporters of H.R. 550, for example, our friend John Gideon over at votersunite.org and the folks over at Voter Action, they have all said that they can no longer support a bill that allows for these VVPATs. So I'm hoping Feinstein gets that right over in the Senate, and that if Holt is unable to change his bill in the House, then perhaps this is something that they could come together in conference if they're able to pass the bill in both houses, something that they'll be able to work out in conference and, in fact, assure that there is a paper ballot for every vote cast in America.
Brad, yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I was going to add, there will also be, as I understand it, some other folks coming forward with bills as well. So maybe we'll have, the best of all worlds to choose from, which will be quite nice. And I guess that's one of the advantages when you have the good guys, I hope, running the House and the Senate.
We hope.
Yeah.
Brad, I wanted to ask you next about the situation in Florida 13. That is this race between Vern Buchanan and Christine Jennings. And 369 votes in the final tally gave the advantage to Buchanan. But this is the congressional district where we know that 18,000 votes are missing. They might be stored in a DRE somewhere, but we just can't find the file.
Yeah.
And what's the latest on Florida 13?
It's an unbelievable story. And, of course, you recall whose House seat that they're fighting to
Catherine fill. Catherine Harris, yes.
Catherine Harris, ironically enough, yeah. So the 18,000 votes are gone. They're considered to be undervotes. Problem is the undervote rate only in that particular race and only in that particular county in Sarasota is just enormous. All of the other counties and the items above and below it on the ballot have, understandable undervote rates.
Well, so, and let me put a number on it. This is from the Washington Post. The magnitude of the undervoting in this race was startling. About 15% of those who cast ballots in Sarasota, by contrast, it was only 2.5% among voters in the other counties of District 13.
That's right. And even in that same district, by the way, in the absentee ballots, it was only 2.5% undervote rate. So this nonsense that Vern Buchanan, the Republican down there, is trying to push, and even worse, the elections officials, Kathy Dent, the supervisor of elections down there, she's still pretending that nothing went wrong and everything is fine and that voters just chose not to vote in that race for reasons that aren't particularly clear. They suggest that because it was such a contentious race, it turned off voters, but as you say, only in that one district. The latest is that Florida has, of course, rushed to certify the election with the 369-vote margin in favor of the Republican. Christine Jennings has filed a suit as well. Some voters have filed a lawsuit as well. They're both asking for a revote down there. In the meantime, the state has convened their own commission to look at the problem and to test some of the machines that were used down there. Unfortunately, they've appointed someone to head the commission who is a very hard right Republican partisan who famously was seen on the steps of the Florida Supreme Court in 2000 with a Bush 1 button on. As well named to this committee is the fellow who, David Drury, the fellow who actually certified the voting machines, these very voting machines, for the state of Florida. So obviously he has an interest in showing that, nothing went wrong, because it'll be, they'll be asking him questions as far as why the heck he certified these machines that obviously don't work.
Mm-hmm.
So they're testing those machines down there. The first day of testing, they tested four machines that were not used in the election.
Brad, we'll get more as we continue. Okay. Time for a break here on the Peter B. Collins Show with Brad Friedman of bradblog.com. More in a moment.
For the Monterey Bay Area, this is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
For whatever legal advice you need, go to Lawyers on Duty. Whether it's for your estate planning, divorce, custody, probate, or a living trust, Lawyers on Duty has experienced attorneys with realistic fees. There's no need to go anywhere else. At Lawyers on Duty, they're available, knowledgeable, and affordable. Located in the courtyard behind Rosine's on Alvarado Street, Monterey. Lawyers on Duty open every weekday 9 to 5. Call Lawyers on Duty 375-5100. 375-5100. Alan Kaplan, owner.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
In these United States, you have many rights. You have the right to assemble. You have the right to free speech. You have the right to worship as you choose. And when you disagree with Billy Sunshine, you have the right to be wrong.
The Billy Sunshine Show, right here on KRXA 540 AM. Tune in Sundays 3 to 5.
Have you thought about owning more real estate but don't know where to turn? Are you interested in learning how to make good profit buying and selling real estate? Or do you want to learn how to let your tenants pay the mortgage while you enjoy the equity? If you want to learn the ins and outs of real estate investing, listen to The Real Estate Guys, Sunday nights at 5 on KRXA. You can own more real estate. The Real Estate Guys will show you how. Listen Sunday nights at 5 and on the web at realestateguysradio.com.
Deborah Lindsay with Tomorrow Matters on KRXA 540 AM, wishing you a safe holiday season and encouraging you to make earth-friendly choices for your celebrations. Join me each Sunday at 2 to match global problems of today with local solutions for a better tomorrow. Remember, the greatest gift we can give is a healthy planet. Tomorrow Matters, right here on KRXA 540 AM, every Sunday at 2.
Tired of stale syndicated right-wing blowhards?
And we are thrilled and honored to have with us Donald Rumsfeld.
You got a bunch of dopey kids watching these shows. Oh, O'Reilly!
Here on KRXA 540, you can hear a fresh local liberal blowhard.
And another thing, Coach, you could strip me naked, stake me to an anthill, pour honey all over me, and I still wouldn't vote for a Republican.
Hal on the show every morning from 9 to 10, only on KRXA 540. Down in
we continue on the Peter B. Collins Show, and I continue to be your humble host, Peter B. Collins. We're originating live from our flagship station, KRXA 540 in Monterey today, and we're talking with his Bradness, Brad Friedman from bradblog.com. And, Brad, I understand that you're in Las Vegas tonight?
You understand incorrectly. Don't you ever check your facts, Peter B.?
Well,
you know you need to check these facts before you go reporting them on the air. As it turns out, I'm in San Diego, but a close runner-up. I'm at the Harrah's in San Diego. Thus the confusion.
Okay, well, we just heard Harrah's, and I imagine that you were there, you know, because you're taking the knowledge you've learned from voting machines and applying it to slot machines.
I couldn't get away with the knowledge that I have about voting machines. I couldn't get away with it on the slot machines. They actually give a damn about security on slot machines. Voting machines, not so much.
Well, Brad, I had to cut you for the break as you were wrapping up on the 13th Congressional District in Florida. That's the race that we're so proud of Christine Jennings because she still has not conceded.
Yeah, she has been an absolute champion. She is a model, frankly, of what every candidate ought to be. She is in there fighting for to make sure that every vote is counted and to figure out what the hell went wrong. The testing down there, they had 2 days of testing. On Tuesday was the first round where they used four voting machines that weren't actually used in the election, and they went through a script, if you will, that was created by this the state convened commission where they voted over and over on these voting machines. It was not real world circumstances, nor was it the machines that were actually used. But out of the four machines that they did test, they found out that all four ended up having errors at the end of the day. Go figure. Now they and what is it you suppose they attributed those errors to? As usual, it was human error, as they suggest. Now, that may or may not have been, but it certainly underscores just how damn difficult it is to use these machines. Even folks who are, you know, professionals paid by the state, working from a script with a buddy watching them and a video camera over their shoulders. Now, today, and I haven't gotten to hear the results yet of how things went today, but today they're using four machines that were actually used in the election, two chosen by that terrible Buchanan fellow and two by Jennings. Now, this is both good and bad because because all four of the machines were actually used in the election. This means that now their data is essentially corrupt. As far as a real investigation goes, one that might have come out of the two lawsuits that are there. But the state doesn't seem to care, and the courts allowed them to do this, so they're actually using machines that were used on Election Day, and now their data will be overwritten. That's also notable because the two machines that Jennings chose to use were two of the machines that had the highest undervote rates on November 7th.
Hmm.
So we'll see what we find out. The groups that are suing down there on behalf of the voters have already come out with statements to the effect that the testing is not going to show us anything. It's an exercise in futility because it's, you know, run by the state, it's run by partisans, and it's not run under real-world conditions. So we'll see. They're calling for a revote in that race. That would be the appropriate thing to do. They're going to have a big rally down there in Sarasota on Sunday. And right now, as I've been suggesting at bradblog.com, a lot of this stuff is going to come down to the judges and the courts and our hope that they've got a judge down there who understands what the right thing is to do here.
All right. Brad Friedman with us from bradblog.com. We go to your calls and a special toll-free number today, 888-579-2540, 888-579-2540. Randall in Tempe. Randall, join us here on the air. Go ahead.
Peter B. and Brad, glad to talk to you guys. We're talking about getting through to the thick skulls of members of Congress, and I wonder, I don't think there's much chance of members of Congress taking time out from fundraising to actually grasp what we're talking about when it comes to technology and things like that. But you would think that they would all have young folks on their staffs that we could talk to that would actually understand this stuff and maybe could get something going, to, as you say, Brad, fix the Rush Holt bill.
Yeah, well, I'm going to be announcing an initiative next week. A number of groups, including my own VelvetRevolution.us, will be launching a campaign to make things crystal clear to the folks in Congress on at least one point, that we need a paper ballot for every vote cast, not a paper trail. To the credit, though, of Rush Holt, he's actually got some very good legislative folks working on this, and they have been reaching out to the election integrity community. I've spoken with the office several times on several occasions over the past couple of weeks. I think they understand the issue. They've got a difficult political gamut to run, since they've been, you know, advocating for voter verified paper audit trails for the last 3 years. So politically, it may be difficult because, in fact, they may end up losing a lot of the supporters that they had already signed on to the previous version of the bill. We'll see. But, you know, I think Rush Holt actually does understand this stuff because, as it turns out, he is quite literally a rocket scientist.
We need more of that.
We do. So Rush Holt himself, there is hope for him. Now, Mrs. Feinstein, I'm not really that familiar with her except when I hear you guys talking about her. And I'm wondering if she won't listen to normal people. I wonder if maybe Deborah Bowen would have. I mean, Deborah understands this stuff. Maybe Deborah would get an audience with Diane and get her to have some connection with reality.
I think that's an excellent idea. Go ahead, Brad.
That's certainly one way to go about it. But please, do not underestimate, as Bush would say, the power of the people here. It would be a grand idea for folks to start calling Senator Feinstein's office and making that point crystal clear that we need a paper ballot, not a paper trail, that you support her efforts for election reform as long as they start with ensuring a paper ballot for every vote cast. If everyone listening to this show right now in wherever we are, California, Arizona, Alaska, began calling up Feinstein's office and letting her know, I suspect she would begin to hear that message loud and clear. So please, take matters into your own hands, people.
Now, is she a committee chair, Brad?
What's that?
Is she a committee chair?
She is going to be she's going to head the Senate Rules and Administration Committee. So it would be her committee that moves forward any election reform legislation, and she has already said she plans to do exactly that.
Well, then I would suggest non-Californians reach her through that committee office, Rules and what's it called?
Rules and Administration Committee.
Rules and Administration Committee, because senators don't really care about getting mail from non-constituents. So us Arizonans should probably call the committee, because we are more or less national constituents of the National Committee of Congress, even though we're not directly constituents of Senator Feinstein.
That's a good point. Yeah. I'd say no matter what, call them both. You know, they tend to listen to these phone calls, I think, in many cases more than emails. So let them know.
Randall, great to hear from you today. Thanks for joining us.
You too. Thanks.
All right. Up next, we got Valerie here in the Monterey area. Valerie, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show with Brad Friedman.
Hello. Good to talk to you.
Nice to talk with you. And I want to simplify things here a little bit for the benefit of our listeners. Valerie contacted me yesterday and sent an email to me and Brad identifying some pretty serious problems that developed in the count of the Monterey votes, Monterey County votes from the midterm election. And to put it in real simple terms, Valerie, what I got from the report you gave us is that there were more votes counted than there were voters casting ballots, and this is on a couple of ballot measures and some races like for the airport committee or airport board here in the county. Is that right?
Actually, it appeared the ghost votes, which were between 1,000 and 2,000 over votes, appeared on the B ballot for the measures. And it covered all of the measures.
The statewide or just county measures?
In Monterey County.
Okay.
And at 8:03 p.m., when they had tallied the first summary report, which was the absentee mail ballot, which had been optically scanned prior to the polls closing, and the totals of the votes that had been cast in early election or early voting procedures at the headquarters, the total votes that were counted and released by, let's say, total voters, total ballots, totaled 29,206.
Mm-hmm.
They were the absentee ballots. And then at the precinct, early voters had cast 2,809 ballots. Now, what showed up was in the measures, I used Measure 86, which was the cigarette tax, as a benchmark because it had the most ghost votes.
Mm-hmm.
And it had 1,907 more votes than voters.
Right.
Okay, but it showed all across the measures. All across that ballot.
Valerie, can I ask a quick question? Because I did not get their report yesterday. I may have missed it in my volume of email. where are those numbers coming from precisely? Did you do a FOIA request, or is this off
no,
of the...
No, we had a poll watcher at headquarters when the polls closed. He picked up the summary reports from the registrar's office as they were being put on the counter. And he picked them up beginning at 8:03, 9:03, 10, and up to 11:30 that night. The rest of the reports we have been watching, we've been picking up from the their website.
So is there still no explanation for the fact that there's more votes than voters?
Well, it changed. On the 29th, the latest report shows an undervote now of 1,700 votes for Measure 86. However, we find that very peculiar because in the report, which was on the website on the 27th, the earlier report showed that they only processed 11,000 votes between those two reports, but we're showing a drop in votes for Measure 86 of 3,000 votes.
Wow.
Okay. Now, we were told...
And was that the ghost of Tony Anshundo voting?
Well, actually, I had a good conversation with Tony back in April, and he told me, he warned me about November. I was concerned when the Diebold certification was happening in Sacramento. I went to Tony and I said, Tony, I don't like the fact that we've got these Sequoia machines. How do you feel about it? And I talked to him on the phone for about 5 minutes, and he said, there will be problems. Nothing will happen until November.
And Valerie, his successor, who is the acting registrar, Mr. Valenzuela, he has kind of had mixed communications where on election night, one of your colleagues overheard some huddles going on where it appears he was quite aware of the problem. And now he has agreed to talk to you well after the date of certification. Is that right?
That's our problem, and that was our concern. We were very upset because Mr. Valenzuela was so helpful before the election. He spent probably 3 hours with our poll watching group, answering questions one-on-one.
Mm-hmm.
Women's International League for Peace and Freedom sent representatives to headquarters. They treated us like honored guests. Mm-hmm. And then suddenly on the 13th, when a representative asked him for an answer, please explain this discrepancy, He said it would work itself out during the canvas.
Now, Valerie, just a minute here before I have to run to a break. You're inviting people to come to the Board of Supervisors meeting here in Monterey County this coming Tuesday night. Explain.
It's actually at 9:30 in the morning.
Oh, I'm sorry, in the morning. Okay.
Right, and there will be a public comment session. It's on the agenda, so I'm not sure how this will work, but we want people to go speak, tell them, I'm sorry, the Velvet Revolution may say paper ballots are what we need, but it's not just paper ballots. We need to have them counted by hand. The optical scan equipment that scanned these 29,000 ballots before this 803 posting leave us with a big question.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
All right, Valerie, I'm sorry. I'm up against a break here, and I can't delay it any longer, but I thank you for your activism. I'm really glad you're paying attention, and I hope people will heed your invitation and come to the Board of Supes meeting this coming Tuesday morning, 9:30.
Thank you, Peter and Brad.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you, Valerie.
And, Brad, you stand by. We're going to continue in just a moment. We'll take more calls if you'd like to join us at our special toll-free number today, 888-579-2540. You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to KRXA 540.
Concerned about the steady increase in home mortgage interest rates? Don't panic or overreact. Now is the time to analyze the many available options and to choose the best possible course. Leverage the equity in your home to reduce or eliminate high interest and non-deductible debt. Victor Munoz, president of Creative Mortgage, invites you for a free consultation in his Salinas offices at 201 John Street. To schedule your free Creative Mortgage consultation, call Victor at 757-0436 right now. That's 757-0436.
Hey, good looking, what you got cooking? How's about cooking something up with me?
I'll tell you what I got cooking. Dinner's ready. I went to dinnersready.com, chose 8 gourmet dinners, made an appointment, and went to their storefront in the Country Club Gate Center in Pacific Grove and prepared the meals there myself. Now I'm cooking them in my own home.
What's that you say? Dinner's ready?
That's right, dinner's ready. It's the newest concept in home cooking. They do all the shopping and chopping, and I get all the credit. If you're too busy to go in and make your dinners, they'll even do it for you. So sign up at dinnersready.com, stop by and see them in the Country Club Gate Center in Pacific Grove, or give them a call at 645-9100. That's 645-9100. Dinner's ready.
Childhood Matters, the show for parents and everyone who cares about our kids.
When babies and young children don't sleep, the whole family can struggle to get the rest they need. I'm Nurse Rona. Join me and my guests, Dr. Jane Anderson and Susie Giordano, author of The Baby Sleep Solution, as they offer suggestions to help your children sleep soundly night after night.
Childhood Matters, this Sunday morning at 9 on KRXA 540.
KRXA 540 takes one more look at your Friday commute. Here's Metro Mike.
And we do have some slowdowns to report in the Monterey Bay Area. First, southbound Highway 1 slows between Monterey and Carmel. Eastbound Highway 25 slows out of Gilroy into Hollister. Eastbound and westbound Highway 68 is slowing in pockets now between Monterey and Salinas, especially in the eastbound direction. We have a stall to report. Monterey Holman Way, that's Highway 68 at Skyline Forest Road, a disabled vehicle that is blocking one of the lanes, causing backup, and the CHP is en route. Road Construction Center crews, northbound Highway 1, the M-Line Avenue off-ramp is closed for long-term road work, and that's scheduled for December of 2007. The Hallmark Channel says one single act will change two lives. Ed Asner, John Newton, and Alice Evans star in the Hallmark Channel original movie This Christmas Card. It premieres tomorrow at 9 o'clock on the Hallmark Channel. Michael Kidd for KRXA.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show, and I'm Peter B., live from KRXA 540 in Monterey. I want to thank all the folks who made this broadcast possible today, and it wasn't easy. Matt Renner, our producer in the Bay Area. Hal Ginsberg, general manager here at KRXA. He's hung out to answer your phone calls. Thank you, Hal. And also Carl Williford and Mike Schweitzer and Raul Velez, my tech buddies who helped us solve some problems here today. And finally to the great team in Denver at the Jones Satellite Desk. We pulled it off, guys. Thank you. Oh, good. That wasn't Brad. That was somebody else. Brad, are you still with us?
I am indeed.
Good, because I'm operating all the equipment here, and that's a very dangerous situation.
I imagine you're doing a great job.
Well, we're doing what we can, and it passes for a great job. We've got Pat on the line from Utica, New York. Good evening, Pat. Welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show with Brad Friedman.
Hey, gentlemen. Thanks for taking my call.
Oh, I hate it when you say that, but I'm happy you called.
Hey, listen, I think there are 39 states that have lotteries, and I think it would be hard to argue that the systems that they use are anything but reliable and impenetrable. Where's the disconnect? I mean, between a state lottery system and a state voting system, I mean, who's kidding who? I mean, why don't these things seem to work as well as, you know, we would hope, I think, that the lottery system?
Because democracy doesn't matter as much as people's money, I think, is the big difference. I mean, that's why we were talking earlier about, the slot machines in Vegas. You know, they can, the Nevada Gaming Commission can walk in there, pull apart any slot machine they want, check it out down to the source code, down to the chip level. But Congress has given dispensation to these American voting machine companies that they don't even have to show their software. And it's never tested by anyone. And, you know, that's the big difference is people regard, the money in their pocket as different from their votes. But, in fact, I promise you they lose a hell of a lot more money via democracy than they do than they do in Vegas.
Well, and Pat, I would offer one other angle, and that is that whether Democrat or Republican, if you are a comfortable incumbent and you have won re-election handily over the years, you're saying, hey, it ain't broke for me. Don't fix it.
And that's my point. I mean, it would just we know that the technology is there. We know that the system can be reliable, and I, for one, do feel that my vote has substantial cash value. I mean, I just don't get it. Who's making the choice that, you know, we can create a system that we can fudge to accomplish our own ends versus we can create a system that's essentially 100% reliable, or, you know, I'll call it 99.9% reliable. I'm just mystified by the whole thing.
Well, I think that's appropriate. So log on to bradblog.com, and you can learn a lot more about the issues that we need to fight for, particularly in this coming Congress. Pat, thanks for the call from New York, Utica tonight. And we go to Cleveland, Ohio next. Dan is on the line. Dan, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Yes, hi, thanks. I voted absentee, and in a matter of which I went to the election board, actually, offices.
A little louder, please, Dan.
Actually went down to the election board offices, they had me vote on a touchscreen machine that supposedly produced a paper ballot. It was scrolling this printed record of my votes past me, but it looked like it was printing on this thermal paper. And if you've ever had a receipt from a grocery store or something that's on this thermal paper, when it gets hot, it gets all black and the vote is gone.
Mm.
So I was wondering if I was correct in that, and if that vote could easily be erased, even though there's a paper there, by just heating it.
Yep, Dan, you're absolutely right. Let me correct you on only one point. That wasn't a paper ballot that you saw. That was a so-called paper trail, the one that we're trying to get rid of. And indeed, it is on thermal paper, the type you get when you use a charge card or something. And it can, as you say, dissipate after, if it's in too much heat or anything else. That's exactly what it is. And the dirtiest secret of them all, however, is that paper trail that you may have verified won't actually be counted by anybody. So don't worry about it. They don't have to see it. They're going to take the numbers off the machine anyway. That is just there to placate you. That's a placebo.
I figured that, but you know, if the courts ever got in and made them count that, it could easily disappear.
Yeah, we'd like to see the courts get in there and make them do that.
Yeah, and they have disappeared. They disappear before they even do have to count them. As I said, it was in Ohio. There was three different rolls in Toledo in November 2005 on some of the busiest machines at one polling location that the voter verified paper trail came back blank, and that happened again this year. I believe it was in Franklin County, Ohio. So yeah. It's happening everywhere. You're absolutely right, Dan.
Okay, thanks.
All right, Dan, good to hear from you in Cleveland tonight. Really appreciate that. That's been a scene of a few election crimes.
Just a few. I don't know if you have time. I know you're coming up at the top of the hour.
Got 30 seconds. Go ahead, Brian.
Okay, I wanted to say Valerie in Monterey was right on the money, and she needs to dog that Claudia Valenzuela like crazy because he's the guy who said he didn't care if people were just too tired to stand online to vote. He wasn't going to give them a paper ballot on Election Day. And maybe next week we'll talk about the fact that Alaska, they had a similar problem, more votes than voters, and despite a court order, the state has once again refused to give the Diebold database of how people voted in 06 over to the Democratic Party that has requested them.
Brad, thanks for joining us. We'll talk to you again next Friday.
Always looking forward to it.
Brad Friedman, go for it at bradblog.com. I'm Peter B. Collins. If you're in the Monterey Bay Area, hope you can join us at the United Nations Association luncheon tomorrow, honoring Human Rights Day. And everybody else, I'll talk to you Monday, same time, same stations, here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Happy trails to you.
The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. It's a taste of things to come. 3 weeks before the official arrival of winter, a big storm has blasted the Midwest with snow, freezing rain, wind, and bitter cold. For a while, conditions were so bad in north-central Illinois that a 70-mile stretch of Interstate 80 was closed. Pam Downey works at a truck stop along the route.
I heard that they had reopened it. It was travelable, but they had to go slow, and there's lots of cars getting on right now.
CBS News correspondent Cynthia Bowers has more.
By the time it's done, a storm that first showed its punch Monday when it brought a rare snowfall to Seattle will have steamrolled its way 3,000 miles across the country, giving the cold shoulder to millions of Americans.
Right now, the east is being battered with thunderstorms as the front moves through. CBS News has learned that whatever's ailing Fidel Castro, it's not cancer. That revelation comes as Cuba stages elaborate celebrations of Castro's birthday without him. CBS News foreign affairs analyst Pamela Falk says the government's trying to maintain a semblance of normalcy.
The display of military prowess and power in Cuba to celebrate the armed forces' 50th anniversary and the delayed party for Castro's 80th birthday is designed to offset the feeling in Cuba of insecurity and uncertainty in light of Castro's illness and the transition of power to his brother Raul.
Castro actually turned 80 on August 13th, but the celebrations were postponed in the hope that he'd be well enough by now. It was literally a backdoor inauguration today when Mexico's new president was sworn in. CBS News reporter Adrian Bard was there.
In a ceremony that lasted less than 5 minutes,
Felipe Calderon has taken office, has been sworn in as Mexico's new president. He came in the back door behind the podium, which had been protected by members of his party for several days. He came into the Congress amid shouts from the opposition, shouts that said only traitors go through the back door. Adrian Bard, CBS News, Mexico City.
Authorities in southern Louisiana think they've solved the serial stranglings that started 9 years ago. WWL Radio's Dave Cohen has the story.
The multi-jurisdictional serial killings task force has arrested 42-year-old Ronald Dominique, charging him with two murders. But Les Bonanno with the Louisiana Attorney General's Office makes it clear more charges may be coming.